Good morning. 00 hours. Cloudy. 40 degrees. Good morning. 0100 hours. Mostly cloudy. 41 degrees.
KHTFM WHCPT. Hey, what's up? KHTFM. I say this counts. Is that the one we figured out was a twofer?
Yeah. I double-checked the maps. I downloaded them off of the DNR website, and it definitely overlaps. So I'm calling it a twofer.
All right, good deal. Yeah, I haven't made it over there yet, but one of these days I will. I haven't done any in a while. I think my last one might have been that big one where I got 366. But, yeah, I need to get out there and do it. I've been hunting a lot, but not activating.
Yeah, I made it over to Heartland State Park today earlier. I had to drop off my son early at his hockey game in Heartland, so it was only a 10-minute drive. So while I was waiting for his game to start, I was able to get out there and activate real quick.
Well, that's cool. Yeah, I was having kind of a rough day today, but if you would have mentioned something, I probably would have already had my HF rig sitting in the truck hooked up. But anyway, yeah, all the deer went dead at my place. I don't know if the does are like 100% in heat right now, and the bucks just aren't moving or what, but like it's been 3 days since I got any deer on my cameras.
Yeah, I was surprised how active they were into the rifle season. I mean, it was like, they definitely went into the rut a little bit late, that's for sure. Yeah, they were running all over the place the opening weekend there.
Yeah, I just couldn't stand missing another opening morning, man. So I went into my spare bedroom, popped the window open, put my orange hat on. And there were literally four deer came out of the thicket, like 30 yards from my house, four does. And then they were just kind of hiding. I don't even think they were really eating. They were just hiding in the thick weeds. They must have already hit an encounter with a hunter or something. And then all of a sudden the one started blowing, but she wasn't blowing at me. She was blowing toward the railroad tracks away from me. And then I heard a grunt and I heard a snort wheeze, and I'm like, ooh, there's a buck coming. And I'm like, I'm actually going to get one. And I look and it was at least a four pointer, a decent sized rack. But as soon as he seen that doe, man, she took off running and he took off after her, and there was no way through all them trees and stuff I could get a shot. But at least I didn't miss opening morning again.
Yeah, this was a pretty cool season only because I got to, I was able to see that the doe bleat cans, they do work. I mean, you know, that guy that set up 100 yards from me, I mean, he was literally using that thing every 15 minutes for about 4 hours straight. Because it wasn't until 11:45 when I shot that four point, and that four point come right out of the swamp, and he was just looking at it, walking back and forth. He wanted to run out and go check it out, but he was just hanging out right in front of my stand because I was in the swamp in a cedar tree. So he thought he was safe, and when I picked the gun up, he kind of jumped, and he had that look on his face like, uh-oh, I messed up.
Oh, I That's awesome. Yeah, you know, I've got a lot of deer around me. Even when I had the food plot planted really good, I tried all them calls, and nothing came into them. I tried rattling, I tried grunting, I tried the bleats, and it just seemed like they didn't respond to them at all. Even when they started, like for the one year, I was waiting for a big buck. So I had, like, five different little bucks in front of me chasing a doe around, and she wasn't ready, so they weren't getting anywhere. And so I started using all the calls when they were, like, in front of me within 80 yards or less, and they didn't even pay attention to me, man. I was like, are you kidding me? These things don't do nothing, man. They're not even listening to them.
Well, what I learned with the bleat can is you need to give that to your friend and then hunt 100 yards away from them, and it'll work just fine. The grunt call, on the other hand, the next day, I was in the stand. It was real windy, but I was in the stand for probably a good 4 hours, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to hit my grunt and just see what happens. I only gave one small grunt on my call, and a spike came crashing right in, right next to me. And it was looking all over the place, couldn't find anything, and then it went back into the swamp. But just that one grunt, and he ran right out of there. It was pretty wild, too, because that was the first time I ever had a deer respond like that to the grunt.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah, I think the reason they didn't respond is because there was five, no lie, there was five different bucks. Two of them were really nice 8 points, but I had meat in the freezer, lots of meat in the freezer, and I'm like, okay, I'm not shooting one unless it's bigger than one on the wall. And then the other three were just, you know, 4 points, 6 points. And, yeah, they didn't even pay attention, but they literally had a doe that they, that poor doe, she was from, my food plot's only like an acre and a half, 2 acres, but they had her all over that food plot, all through the woods, and then back in the food plot, and she'd stop in front of me, and baiting was still allowed, so I had a bait pile 20 yards out from me, so she'd stop at the bait pile panting, and eat a little bit of bait, and then one of the bucks would come up, and she'd run off, and then that buck would eat at the bait pile. I mean, it was pretty cool seeing what they actually do. Before I had this spot in my house, I'd always shoot the first buck I seen, no matter how big it was, and I never got to see all that stuff. It's kind of cool. If you don't shoot the first one, and you wait, a lot of times there's more following them.
Oh, yeah, when the rut's on, they're all over the place doing all kinds of crazy stuff. Last year, I had two doe that were around me. I never could get a shot at them, but there was one buck that was just chasing them all over the place. They were behind me 100 yards, then next to me, then in front of me, then they were 100 yards in the other direction, and that buck was just chasing them all day long. It was quite funny to see the three of them constantly, you know, running around my stand. It's pretty wild. But the rut was earlier last year. That was like first week in November that was happening, where I didn't really see any chasing until the rifle season.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's cool when that happens. Next year I'll have my food plot in there, and I'll have some more action. Plus I'll be able to get my tower blind. I probably could put on my beads. You can go up there now, and there's probably not much in there, but I got to make sure there's no stinging insects, because I know the yellow jacket queens like to go in there, because I found that out last winter. I'm like, nothing's going to be in here, and I crawled up in there with just my heavy coat on and everything, no bee suit, and I'm like, okay, nothing's in here, and then they started crawling from behind the little blackout windows I have, and it was yellow jacket queens, and I'm like, okay, I killed that one, but how many more are here? So I shut the window, but then the damn thing fell back open this summer, so once I get up there this year, I got to measure the windows, and I found some really good windows that I can install from the inside, and then I won't ever have to worry about a window opening up again, because everything sealed great in that thing except for the windows.
Yeah, and then take all the cracks and get that Instafoam stuff, and fill everything in. That should keep everything out. Yeah, all my hunting I did in my climbing stand for the most part, and of course I got to take a break from hunting until I'm gonna wait until Thanksgiving to drive back up. But yeah, sitting in that tree stand, you know, 3 days all day, I screwed up my lower back, and I haven't been able to walk. My sciatic nerve and everything that's been bothering me. Hope that I feel a little bit better, but I think from carrying my climbing tree stand in and out of the woods, I screwed it up.
Ah, that sucks. Yeah, I used to always use my climber. What did I have? Some kind of a Grand Slam. I can't remember the brand name. I should know it. And that thing was pretty cool. And I've actually got all the stuff to saddle hunt, but I haven't. I bought it when all this health stuff was going on, thinking, okay, I'll be able to use this, and I'll be attached to the tree at all times, and I won't fall, and I haven't tried it out yet. So that's another thing I want to do this summer, is try that out and get used to it. Then I can hang a couple ropes up and just rappel right up the ropes. That'll be nice. But anyway, yeah, I'll get there. I'm still going to try to get one this year, though. We can bow hunt all the way in St. Clair, Macomb, and Wayne County. You can bow hunt for does and bucks until the 31st of January. So I got lots of time yet.
Yeah, because I know my I'm going to buy a chest freezer. Well, I have a chest freezer, but by the time I put the deer in it and groceries, there's like no room. So I'm going to buy an upright freezer for the family stuff. And then I'm going to use my chest freezer for the deer. So I'm going to try to fill the two more tags that I have, my doe tag and then my restricted combo. I'm going to try to get those filled here before the end of the season. So if I have to, I'm going to try hunting at Wetzel and then the other place at 25 and Gratiot on that state game area.
You know, you might want to look into that state game area that's like, I think it's like 6 miles east of my house, St. Clair state game area, because there's only a couple little spots to park, and it's not huge, but somewhere across the street and down the road a little bit further, there's one of those farms where you can take a number and hunt there, too. I don't know if your doe tags are good statewide or not, but that there might not be as much hunting pressure on them two spots. I've never actually went out there during hunting season to see how many people hunt it, but it's kind of like a small one, like that one you're saying over there in Chesterfield, but it's a little bit further north.
Yeah, maybe I'll check that out too. So that's what I'm going to try to do, is look for exactly those types of small plots, and then I'll just get in there in my climber and hopefully we'll get some snow on the ground and it'll make it a little bit easier to see where the runs are and see if I can get on top of something.
Yeah, I don't know if they still do that Hunter's Access program, but that there was a farm across the road from that St. Clair state game area that did that Hunter's Access program. And depending on how big it is, there'll be like four numbers or four tags or something, and you go to a box on the property, and if there's a tag available, then you grab it, and only so many hunters can hunt on that farmer's land. But I never checked it out because I couldn't find the box. I was looking for the box just to see where it was at. I even drove up in the farmer's driveway, and nobody was around, and I didn't really want to knock on the door and bug them, because if they say go to the box only, which that one said, that usually means they don't want people bugging them. So yeah, I never figured it out. But that's a cool thing to look up too, is the Hunter's Access program. I think it's called HAP, H-A-P. There might be some between your house and my house that are in Macomb County or something that you might find and be able to look into.
Yeah, I think that, I've seen those programs. Onyx even has the maps, but I've never actually tried looking for the boxes and that. That could be something to check out. Yeah, I know up north, the Lake Firearm for the month of December, you're allowed to hunt on state land now, so I don't have to just do private land only. So at least for this year, you can do the state land as well with a rifle, which I'm kind of surprised, because that kind of monkeys with the archery hunters a little bit. That seems kind of strange to me.
Yeah, they don't care about the archery hunters. And I mean, not that I'm against kids hunting, but as soon as they started the gun early doe and kid and youth hunt and all that in September, I mean, that's like the biggest kick in the butt to bow hunters, man. You get guns going off a weekend or two before your bow season opens, and it puts them nocturnal, like, right away. So, yeah, they don't care about archery hunters. That was the biggest kick in the butt there.
Yeah, I'm getting to where I think I'm going to maybe switch into a crossbow here come next year. But I definitely like hunting October better because, man, it was a little bit of a bummer because we're at the state land that I hunt on across from our cabin. They clear-cut a bunch of areas in there. So it looks like it pushed the deer into the area where I hunt, which is good. But, of course, it also pushed the hunters into that area. I had more hunters this year than I've ever had, you know, trying to hunt.
Yeah. That's what I'm going to be using, a crossbow. I actually got to bring mine down here and go to that range, indoor range. Hopefully they allow crossbows there because I got to sight in my... I bought a new one last December and I haven't sighted it in yet. Yeah, so you got one in St. Clair County, which is the one I was telling you about, that's still there. Oh, this is 2021. I don't know. Oops. How'd I get to 2021? All right, I'm going to have to look again.
Yeah, if you have the coordinates, send them to me, and I'll check that out on my side as well. It sounds like you got a lot of nice bucks in your area there running around.
Yeah, this is east of me quite a bit. Not the same bucks, but it's the same kind of area. There's a lot of woods and a lot of farms and so it's got to be the same thing. And I can't see too many people hunting there unless they're parking right on the side of the road, because there's literally one spot to back in where I did POTA, and then there's one other spot you could probably back in, and it leads to the field that they plant something in that's actually on state land too. So I'll get you I'll drop a pin on it and show you.
Yeah, hopefully I can get lucky and get everything wrapped up next weekend so I don't got to be in the bitter cold trying to pull my bow back.
Yeah, that hunter's access is still there. I'm trying to see what they say. They said 17, I can send you the address of it. It says 9 hunters allowed, 135 acres. Yeah, I'll send you the address of it. That was weird. Did you hear the squelch stick open?
Yeah, that was real strange. I was on UMP there talking for a little bit, so I heard it there, but you must have heard it on FBI. I just switched back to FBI because now it's coming in good again.
All right, yeah, I just sent you a screenshot of that one. The state land's literally right across the street from it. I'm going to paste the address in here real quick of this farmer. And that's the Hunter's Access Program, and then I'll drop a pin on that state land and share it with you, too.
Yeah, that's cool, because that's on the weekends when I got hockey and I can't make it up north. That'll be good, because those are places I can kind of sneak to during the week. Because it's pretty easy for me during the week to take, like, at least one day off during the week, so... That's what I want to try to find, are those little pieces of land that I can get up early, get there, hunt, and get back home, you know, without a big deal.
Yeah, I got to think that one would be less busy in Wetzel. Somebody told me Wetzel's got tree stands all over the place.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure all those properties that border up to it, you know, they walk out of their backyard and have stuff that's ready to go and set up. But I think if you come from the park, you know, and you don't see any cars there, you probably can get in there. I know basically when you walk down that trail to where the first picnic table is, and you go a little bit further and slightly to the left, I always see them over there. So that's all I was thinking, is I was just going to walk down that far, and the first tree that my climber can go in, I was just going to camp there.
Yeah, you go back in that woods, and there's a creek, and there's a lot of the walnut trees that have the green thing over them. They get your hands all full of crap if you try to peel them. There's a bunch of them back in there in a big old creek that goes through there, too. So it's a pretty neat little area. It's just how much pressure is it getting, you know?
Yeah, that's true. But there's only one way to find out. Just got to go out there and try it. You know, got to just battle it out. What I did this year up north, but now it at least worked for me.
Yeah, that Hunter's Access Program says 900, total of 135 acres. It's got 36 acres of forest, 12 acres of brush or grassland, and 87 acres of crop or hay pastures. So that's a spot to think about trying to.
Yeah, I got to download the new rules and check, but did they do anything with the muzzleloader season? Did they do any rule changes there to extend the hunting? Do you know?
I'm not sure if it's statewide. It might be. All the muzzleloader seasons appear to be the same. They don't scatter them like they used to, and it's any legal firearm again for, I think, the whole state. So basically your gun season is extended for the muzzleloader season.
Oh, really? Huh. I'm going to have to check that. I'm going to have to dig into that. That'd be nice, because I didn't sight in my muzzleloader. I'm just going to hope that that it hits where it's supposed to. So, yeah, if I could just keep using my rifle, that'd be nice. I'll see if it's that way up north.
I'm Googling it right now to see if it says, let me find it, and then I'll tell you what it says.
Yeah, not that I'm against using the muzzle loader, but it's a pain in the butt. So I'd much rather just wait till next year. Pain in the butt to clean, and it's too cold to shoot now.
I heard you, Eric. Okay, it says you can use all legal firearms in Zone 3, which is down here, and Oceana, Nuevo, Mescado, I don't know how to say that one, Muskegon, Isabella, Midland, and Bay Counties.
Yeah, one of these, I gotta get me a... I think I got to get a rifle for the boys anyway, so I got to get a, want to find like a real simple, like either a 450 Bushmaster or a 375 Legend or something like that, because I don't have any rifles that I can use down here. I only got the muzzleloader.
Yeah, I haven't messed around with them rifles yet. I got a shock on a Remington, I think it's called Sure Shot or something like that, or Slug Shot or something. But it's made for long-distance shooting. The barrel's pinned to the receiver, rifle barrel. I got a Vortex scope on it. And basically from 0 to 150 yards, I'm 1.5 inches of drop or raise, whatever. And then 200 yards, I'm like 4.6 inches drop. So yeah, that's a cool. It's a 12 gauge shotgun. Also, if you're getting it for the boys, it might be a little much for kick wise. But you probably would be better off with like 350 Legend or something.
Yeah, I have a smoothbore slug barrel for my shotgun, but I can hit like a saucer at 100 yards with iron sights like no problem, but it is hands down the worst kicking rifle I've ever shot. There's like no way the boys could use that. So I gotta get something that's a little friendlier for them.
Yeah, I just sent the link to my buddy the other day. I sent it to you now, of my shotgun. Yeah, that's my shotgun. It's like, unless they make it in 20 gauge or something for the kids, that's probably a little much, but so I sent you that link, and then I'm going to send you the drops. I got it right on my flip-up scope. It's pretty flat shooting up to 150 yards. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, Davian, next year, he should be big enough to start using some of them. I found a guy one year. He was moving to Florida, and he sold all his guns, and he had one left, brand new in the box, like in Emily City. And I drove out to look at it, and it was a Ruger bolt action 270, but it's the one with the wood stock that goes all the way to the barrel, and I forget what they call it. But the guy had it brand new in the box, never even shot it, and he sold it to me for $200 because he just wanted it gone, and it's like brand new. But it's only an 18-inch barrel. It's a 270. And it doesn't kick bad, but the fireball on the end of it with the barrel being that short is ridiculous. It's crazy. But I think Davian might fit into that one. Or I might even take it to a gunsmith and have him, you know, turn it into a youth gun for me. Maybe just chop an inch off the stock or something. I gotta see.
Okay, that sounds like a good deal. That gun had to be worth a lot more than that. So, yeah, this thing is, I sent you the picture, but 50 yards, it's 1.3 high. 75 yards is 1.9 high. Then at 100, it's 1.6 high. These are inches. 125, it's 0.6. Then 150, it's 1.3 low. 175, it goes to 4.2 inches low, and then 200, it's 8.2 inches low. So I can take a 200 shot, aim at the top of the deer, and hit it right in the boiler room.
Yeah, I'm just driving down my street now. I think I know what you have. I'll look at it here shortly. But yeah, I'm pulling into my house, so I'm going to turn off the radio here, and I'll chat with you later. But thanks for sending me those links. I'll check those out, go for a ride one of these days here, just to kind of go peek around, see if there's any cars there or not.
Yeah, I did a screenshot of the Hunter's Access information, and then I put the address in there that you can Google. But I'm pretty sure if you Google that, the coordinates that I gave you were for the state game area, which is right across the street, I believe, from that place. So you can either do the address or the coordinates, and it'll take you to the same place on the same road. The hardest part is trying to figure out where that drop box is for those self-service hunting that private land, because I looked around and I couldn't find it. You'd think there'd be a sign on it or something.
Yeah, that's why I'll go early, just so I don't got to fight with that. All right. Well, it was nice chatting, buddy. I will talk to you later. Have a good rest of the evening. Thanks again for sending all of that.
All right. Take it easy. Catch you later. W8CPT.
Sure. I'm sorry, guys. Messing around with my phone. Does it sound okay right now?
Yeah, are you leaving it heat up? Yeah, it sounds fine. I could just hear it echo, but you're probably monitoring yourself.
Roger. What about the audio level?
Well, I haven't touched it since I've been talking to Davian, and it's not too loud. I haven't wanted to turn it down or nothing, so I think it's probably right where you need it.
Roger, Dodger. Okay, I'm going to try the other phone now. I got two different phones. And this is phone number two, Roger, Dodger, W-8-E-A-P.
Man, they are almost exactly the same to me. The second one might have been a little bit quieter with background noise, but, I mean, they're almost dead even.
Right, Joe. All right. Let's kind of get them set up about the same. This is my spare phone. One of my spare phones.
Are they both Cisco's?
No. DV switch. Cell phones. I tried to run the Enrico mic. The Enrico mic doesn't work on the one phone, but it works good on the other phone. So I got to try the Enrico mic on my other phone, my third phone. Do that tomorrow. But, so Davian was out POTA-ing. Where was he at?
St. John's Marsh. So if you're, like, heading toward Algonac, when you get to that marshy area on both sides of the road, then at the end of that, I think there's a little boat launch on the left. And if you go anywhere in St. John's Marsh, it's a twofer. It's two POTA parks because the one that covers the island, Harson's Island, shows green on that St. John's Marsh area, too. So, yeah, it's a two POTA park. Twofer. I think it's probably one of the few twofers we got around here, actually. And I don't think too many people realize it's a twofer either.
Yeah, I know exactly where he is. Isn't there like a lighthouse? It says the colony.
Yep, that's on the other side of the road, but I don't think it's right across from there, but it's right near there for sure. Yeah, I used to keep my boat right up the road from that at where the sheriff docks their boats at Colony Marina, I think it was. Yeah, it was. Duh. But that tower isn't in the marina for some reason. That threw me off. I'm like, wait a minute. That tower is called that, but the marina is down further.
Yeah, just before you get into that area where it's got the marsh on both sides, there's like a street there, and a buddy of mine used to live there in these canals. And he'd go out into the lake, and he'd be in Bouvier Bay. Does that ring a bell?
Oh, yeah. That's where we'd go ice fish. We'd call it the spot we ice fish. We called the horseshoe. It's about a mile and a half out from the DNR launch right there. It was the Anchor Bay DNR launch where the little bait shop was.
Bouvier Bay was popular with like wakeboarders and tubers because the water was only, it was really shallow right there, but it was always smooth. It was like just a really nice, smooth bit of water for like tubing and wakeboarding.
Yeah, I used to water ski back in the day, and I liked it to be at least 10 feet of water, so when you fell, you didn't hit bottom and snap your neck. But if you're going slow on tubes or something, that would probably be fine, because you just, or even with a life jacket on, you probably would just, a tube, you just would fall off and skip on the water, probably. But yeah, that shallow water scared me whenever I was water skiing, because if you fall in the wrong way, you could really hurt yourself.
Never thought about it that way. The speeds I was, I've wiped out. I've just skipped on the water like a stone. I fell off a jet ski, my own jet ski. My buddy was driving. He was doing like 65. And I fell off the back and I skipped. You just don't fall off and go right down into the water at that speed. You definitely skip.
Oh, Oh, yeah. Yeah, like our little speedboat we had at my grandma's cottage on Bald Eagle Lake would only go about 28 to 30 miles an hour. But that was still enough to pretty much skip a little bit. But, yeah, some of them boats would get going like 40. And then if you're on a corner getting swung out, you're doing like 60 when you go skipping across the water for quite some time there. All right, I'm still on the radio, but I'm wearing pajamas that have the Abominable Snowman Bumble on them and a camouflage t-shirt that does not match them at all. But I need smoke, so I think I'm going to the gas station. If anybody doesn't like the way I look, then they don't have to look at me. And I'm wearing that Walt gave me. It says Captain Don Sport Fishing in Hawaii. There's a picture, man. Somebody gets a picture of me, I might as well be at the Walmart, you know?
Well, if you go to the same store, they probably recognize, you know, they probably get used to it and think it's normal.
Yeah, I do go to this one all the time, but I usually at least throw on jeans so I don't have my PJs on. But I did not feel good all day today. I'm feeling better now, but it was weird. It was like I had a bout of that anxiety, but I knew I had it, so it didn't get super bad. But I haven't had it in like 4 months, man, so I don't know what that was all about, but I'm feeling better now, so I'm just going to get me some smokes and relax some more until I'm ready to fall asleep. But anyway, yeah, Dave was redoing the firmware on his smaller Anytone, and he showed me some screenshots. He might have put them in Basecamp and Telegram. They actually did a real improvement compared to OpenGD 77, and looks like you're going to be able to add any new satellites that come in, and you can pick whatever, wherever you want to download your caps, like with a pull-down menu. So I'm waiting for that 878 release, the newest firmware update, because that's probably going to be pretty cool for the satellites.
Yep. Well, I'm just glad I got all the same Simplex channels in my RT3S. Talk to you guys. Or 9600, rather. But that was fun. Yeah, I can hear you. I mean, you're just about peg my meter on any frequency. And I could hear Greg a little bit. I should be able to hear Dave. He's got that, I don't know, maybe it's just the way his antenna's mounted on his house, but I was surprised I couldn't hear Dave.
That is really weird. I heard what you said, but you know how they got islands on, when you come in off of Van Dyke on some of the side streets? There's a car parked right in front of the island going toward Lake Van Dyke, and his license plate said FADA, F-A-Y-D-A. And he's parked there with his lights on. I thought he ran up the curb and busted his rim, but he's just sitting there. All right, I'm going to run in real quick. I'll be back in like 2 seconds.
Rajo, W-A-E-A-P.
Good morning, 0200 hours. Cloudy.
What was that?
41
is there somebody out there?
Degrees.
I can understand you're very weak wherever you're at.
Am I making it now, NAW?
Nope, not making it. I heard just a syllable or two.
W-E-T-P-T.
Yeah, someone's trying to get in there, Captain Don, but they're not making it.
Gotta be making it now.
I heard I gotta be making it now, but you're still pretty scratchy.
I'll be right back. W-A-E-A-P. Maybe the other guy out there could pull a little more wattage out there. or maybe move to a different spot, maybe using a dead spot or something.
And in a dead spot, some people just can't hear. They just cannot hear.
Well, that was much better. This is WCPT, Captain Don. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fine. I don't think I ever had the pleasure of meeting, talking to you, Captain Don. The only Don I know is he's a silent key now.
Roger that. That's Professor Don, right? W-A-80. Yeah, I talked to him quite a bit. That's a, miss him, man. He's always the one on here late at night, or he used to be. And not too many people like to be up at this hour, that's for sure.
Now I'm retired, so I'm no telling what time of day I'm on here. What about John? Is he out there?
I haven't heard him in a while, so I would be willing to guess no. The other guy was W-A-D-A-T.
Yeah, Roger. Well, you guys going to breakfast over there?
Do they do a, I think they do a breakfast on Saturday mornings, but I don't know if they're still doing it or not. I kept trying to make it, and I'm retired too, and I'm never up that early.
Yeah, Roger, Roger. Okay. Well, I just was getting the man heard you guys. I'm on the far northwest side of Detroit, and I'm using a beam, but then I'm only putting out how many watts? Oh, shoot. Wait a minute. Yeah, only about 23 watts.
Yeah, okay. That's about what I'm, well, my radio set at 25. I'm sure it's only putting out about 22 or something. But yeah, I'm in Sterling Heights, so I'm probably about 6 to 10 miles away from the 2.600 or whatever it is.
Yeah, Roger, Roger. Okay. Yeah, I just go over there all the time and sell and hike at that cozy cabinet. They didn't shut that cabinet. They shut that place down.
Okay, I know what that is, and I just cannot remember where the heck it's at. Where was it at?
I think it's on Van Nuys and 12 miles somewhere over there.
All right, yeah, I know I've seen it. I've probably even eaten there, probably in my younger days after the bars or something. But, yeah, you know, it definitely rings a bell, yeah. I'm closer up by 18 in Van Dyke area right now. Visiting my parents. I live up in Columbus, up by Port Huron, though.
Brother. Yeah, you're a long way. Every now and then I can talk up there, up that way. I turn my beam up that way. I have gotten into Memphis, Michigan. Is that a such thing? Memphis, Michigan, and what else up that way? A couple of other places up there.
Yep, yep, there's Memphis. That's east of me about 8 or 10 miles. I mean, west of me. But, yeah, there's a repeater tied into here now in Richmond, which is, oh, probably about 8 miles north of Memphis now. So, yeah, it's got decent coverage, too. I actually hit it up in Yale. It was probably about the northern limit of it, but yeah, that's cool. They got one in Richmond now that brings in a lot more people from the Port Huron area.
What frequency is 147-300 your horn? 147-300, where is that located?
That one might be the Evoco repeater, which is north and west of Port Huron. Let me double check. What did you say it was again? Once you say it, I'm going to flip channels and I'll tell you for sure.
147-300. 147-300. I forget the PL.
All right, yeah, I was right. That's KADD, so Kilo 8 Delta Delta, and it's in Avoca, Michigan, which is probably, I don't know, maybe 10 miles northwest of Port Huron.
Wow. Is that a standard PL? Or is that a 100 hertz PL on there in 50 north?
I think it is. Give me 1 second. I'll check and I'll be back. Looks like it's 192.8.
Okay, okay. That's probably why I wasn't getting into it, because I've gotten into it before. But I just had the wrong PL in there. I think I had probably 100 hertz.
Roger that. Yeah, that one's up pretty high from what I heard, too. So, yeah, it's got pretty good coverage. I know I can almost hit it here in Sterling Heights with just my Comet 2x4 Magnum out.
You can hit it up there with a Magnum out?
I think it was that one. Maybe it was the SC1K SCC or something in Marine City. Maybe that was the one I was hitting. But no, it's got pretty good range. It's up there. I don't know. I don't remember how many feet it is, but it's up there pretty high. And with it being 2 meters, it goes a little further than UHF.
Yeah, VHF always go farther than UHF. They go farther, but UHF is more line of sight. You know, you can. UHF, you know, you can have a little HT with a small rubber duck and get into certain repeaters, you know, in line of sight. You can, you know, you can be in close area more than a VHF and get into it. So they both work pretty good, though. I'm on a 2B to 440 beam. I know I got a 16-element beam there. It's 8 on 2 meters and 8 on UHF, dual band quad. Yeah, roger.
Roger that. Yeah, that'd be nice to have. I do a lot of the satellites, and I want to get one of those rotors and get it up in the air a little bit. I at least need to get it over my house. but I do have a little small rotor on a little Star Trek rotor I use for the satellites, and I'll turn that. It's got a 2 meter, 70 centimeter with probably about, I think it's 3 elements on 2 meter and like 5 on 70 centimeter. And yeah, that gets out better than my, I got a Comet fiberglass up on the top of my roof. And if I point that Yagi in the right direction of the repeaters, I definitely hit them better than I do with the fiberglass antenna.
Roger. Well, what kind of radio you using?
In my mobile, I got a TYT 96 MB9600, but in my home QTH, I got a Kenwood TS2000. The main reason I got that is to track the satellites, because it's a satellite radio. And then I got a DX10. I use a DX10 for HF with a NFED halfway that's, I don't know, like 22 feet up to about 100 feet in the tree.
Yeah, roger. Well, I do have a Yaesu 847. It's an old model radio. That radio's 21 years old, almost 22 years old. I bought it almost 22 years ago in Dayton, brand new. I used it, my UHF sync went out and sent it in for repair. UPS dropped the doggone radio, and I had to take them to court because they can't find a parts and stuff for that radio no more. So I wound up buying this Yaesu 991A. I think it works as a satellite too. You know, I can split frequencies like the 847. 847 is definitely a satellite radio, but I never really used it.
Oh, that's a bummer that they dropped it. Yeah, I've actually got a, my first HF rig I bought was a Yaesu, I think it was an FT840, if I'm recalling correctly. And, yeah, I used that for about about 5 or 6 months before I got the DX10. And that DX10 is so much nicer with the waterfall, but you know how that is because that 991 has the waterfall. So yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah, that's a neat little radio. I don't know. I think it can do the satellites, but the tracker programs don't automatically track the Doppler. Maybe I'm wrong though. They might.
I'm going to have to look into call Yaesu or something, see if it'll work with the 9918, because I know the 847 will work. And, you know, man, I'll tell you, I love to outdone when that girl dropped my radio, and when it got to where it was going, the guy says, he said he can't repair it because, you know, they can't find parts for it. And they didn't want to pay me. I had to put $900 insurance on it there, and some mother scratches. Man, I had to take it to court and stuff, and just looked up on the computer and finally gave me the lesser price of $600. Plus the guy said, well, I don't need the radio. You can keep the radio. So I got the radio back, too. So what they say now over in England, I can find, they still have parts for my radio. The guys over in Canada said that I could get parts from the over in England, but I'm going to have to check into that.
Yeah, I mean, it might be a little bit more in shipping, but if you really like that radio and you want to use it again, then, heck, I do it. I've ordered stuff from all over the place. Like that Star Trek rotor I got came from Australia, and some school kids there made it, and I guess there's a husband and wife ham that came up with the project, and the school kids built them, and it's like a box with some motors in it, and you hook up your Yagi antenna to it, and you got to put a counterbalancer on it, and it actually tracks the satellites with the SAT-PC-32 program as they're going over, so that's pretty cool. The only thing it doesn't do is spin the antenna for the polarization, but it still works decent. I've got a handheld Arrow 2 Yagi that I use an HD with. The HD's TYT UV390, and it has a firmware you can put on it called OpenGD77, and that firmware actually tracks a Doppler for you. So I point that at the space station or the other satellites as they're flying over, and I've actually had 6 astronaut contacts in the last like year and a half.
Somebody trying to get in there?
No, I don't think so. That's the second time it's done that tonight. After I get done talking, it's keyed up and it's all static. I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah, Roger. You did say you had a chip with 2000 as well.
Roger that. Yeah, I like that. That's HF and 2 meter, 70 centimeter. I think I can do 100 watts on 2 meter, 50 watts on 70 centimeter. That's a cool little radio. I like that radio. And it tracks a Doppler, too, on the satellites. So you set it up with that PC-32, and it tracks a Doppler for you, too, and it's full duplex.
I wind up getting this. Like I said, I got at that time the 847 Yaesu back in Dayton 20 years ago. Had I known, I probably would have got the Kidwood 2000, because you're right. It puts out 100 watts on 2 meters and 50 watts on 440, whereas this radio and my 847 only put out 50 watts on 2 meters and 50 watts on UHF. So that extra 50 watts make a difference.
Oh yeah, yeah. You could still find some of them used. That's how I got mine. I just got mine about a year ago now. I picked it up used in really good condition, and yeah, I just that's it's one of my favorite radios. I even tried it. I got antenna switches so I can use on HF, and every once in a while I'll just spin the dial instead of, you know, looking at the waterfall on the new fancy radio, and it does really well on HF too. I mean, it's a nice radio.
Yeah. At one time I wanted that 2000, but now, you know, these new ones come out with, they got the 60 meter channels on this radio, like this one here. I love the 60 meter channels here. Yeah, that's a great radio. Yeah, they always improving these radios, coming out with something better. Yeah, so if that 2000 has 60 meter channels in there, man, I would really be trying to think about getting one of those radios. But are you familiar with the 60 meter channel?
No, I don't think I've ever explored that yet. I'm looking up the band plan and all that right now, because once I see that, I'll know. I know I've been on 80, but I don't think I've been on 60.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of radios don't have it. It's only the new radios have 60-meter channels, and there's only five channels. You know, there's only five channels there, but we have a net going on every day at 5:30 on channel 2. 5:30 p.m. on channel 2 on the HF radio on 50-meter channels here. Yeah. That's pretty neat. I talk to people all over the country, man. It's fun.
So are you talking 2 megahertz? Are you talking 160? Because I'm looking at the band plan now. It says 2 megahertz is 160 meters. And then there's 60 meters, and that's like 5.32 through 5.405.
There you go. 405. Yeah, right in there. It's only five channels. I'm not talking about 160 meters. That's way up there, 160 meters. I mean, you gotta have a real long antenna. I should say a long wire for 160 meters. But 160 meters. But for 60 meters, you know, it's like I say, it's in between 40 and 80 meters, you know. If that's, like I say, the five, I'm not looking at the channel thing there, but it's like five channels and 5 point something other, and all the way at the 5.45 or 4.4 or something like that. And, there's a bunch of people at a certain time of day be on those frequencies. I talk to guys, but the only thing that's different is it's limited to power. You can't only run but 100 watts on that radio. Nobody can run over 100 watts. And the only thing is, if you want to really get out, you got to have a good antenna or a good wire or something like that.
Okay, I'm seeing it now, yeah. It says 100 watt DP relative to half-wave dipole permitted. operating modes are single side band, upper side band, CW, RIDI, PSK31, and other digital modes such as Pactor 3. Only one signal at a time is permitted on any channel. Okay. I don't know if my radio, the IDX10, does that or not. I'll have to look.
Well, how old is your radio?
Oh, the DX10 is brand new. I just got it. Not even a year ago, so I'm guessing it'll do it, because I know I can do 80.
It'll do it. If it's HF radio, it'll do it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I wonder how many watts. I wonder if it should do 100 watts, because my HF is 100 watts. And obviously, I can't legally turn my amp on.
you don't want the FCC come knocking at your door, although they're not active as like they used to be back in the days. But still, you don't want to take no chance of having them come back, you know, knocking at your door there, go ahead.
Roger that, yeah. I know. I'm looking at it now. Let's see. Where's it say? Hang on. I'll take a break until I find it. Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to have to say something to Sean if I talk to him tomorrow, because this thing is like, there's like a squelch burst when I unkey. And then every once in a while, that squelch burst stays going, and then I got to key it up a couple times to shut it off.
But what you got a radio from him, or is the repeater? What do you think it is?
I vaguely remember it was doing something like this with my radio. The repeater was a while back, and he had to fine tune something. So it might be needing fine tuning again. The repeater, not the not my radio. Okay, so it says receive 1.8 megahertz, 29.6999 megahertz, or is it transmit 1.8 to 54 megahertz? Yeah, okay, so I can definitely do it. I'll have to try it out one of these days when I'm at home. You said 8 o'clock is when they have the net?
No. It said 5:30 p.m., 5:30 p.m. on Channel 2. And Channel 2 is like, I'm not looking at it, but I think it's the last four numbers, like, well, I should say the three. I know the last two numbers is 4-8, something like that. What is it? 5.248 or something like that. If you're looking at it, just look, give me the frequency to Channel 2. On that 60-meter channel.
Okay, yeah, it's probably 5.348.
That's it. Now, you tune that every day at 5, if you got anything. I got a rotary dipole cover 6, 10, 15, 20, and 40, but it don't work on that, of course, because it's won't go that high. But I do have a wire dipole that covers 10 to 80, and with my tuner, my MFJ 998 tuner, I can go to 6 meters, and I can go all the way up to, I can lift it up on 160, but it won't transmit that high. But 60 meters is right in between there, so I can tune there. And what I have to do in order to tune 60 meters, I go to the frequency. If you see, I have to go sideband, really. Let's see how I can do that. I have to go FM first, and one of those frequencies, you know, they got like this, like part of it, it's got the FM part, and then you got the other part for up the sideband. Well, if you go to the FM part, what am I talking about? CW or something like that. And you press, with mine, it's an automatic tuner. I press the button, an automatic tuner for that 60-meter channel. Then I go back to, upper sideband, and that's when I can transmit. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying, but it's kind of weird with how I have to do it.
Yeah, I've got the full legal limit, MFJ tuner, manual tuner, and I got to put it on RIDI when I'm tuning up. And the antenna I have, it's 130-foot NFED half-wave. It says it's good from 10-meter to 80-meter resonant. So I could, if it's resonant from 80 to 10, I could probably get it to tune with that manual full legal limit tuner. No problem, I would think.
Yep. You should be able to do that. But let me ask you this. Have you ever tried to bring up the 6-meter repeater here in Detroit on your radio?
I didn't even know there was a 6-meter repeater in Detroit, so no, I have not.
Oh, brother, how long you been licensed?
Not very long. It'll be 2 years in February, so it ain't been very long.
Oh, brother, I should have known I'd be talking to someone that's been licensed, but not that long. I should have known, sir. It's all right, but what class license are you?
I've got my general. I got my tech in February of 23, and then I got my general in May of 23, and then I'm half studied for my extra. Kind of, I want to get the extra done and out of the way, kind of a tribute to Don that passed, because he kept pushing me, saying, go get that extra, I know you can do it.
Yeah, Don is a good guy. I'm a general, too. I wish that when I was in the study mode, I should have continued. But I've been a, you know, the thing is, I've been a tech for years and years. When I first got my license, I got my license in 92, can you believe that? And I was content with being a tech, but I had friends that pushing me because they had upgraded. And they said, you know, they kept saying, man, don't you want to talk around the world? Don't you want to do this? And so I said, well, I can. They said, well, how? I said, I talk all that collegiate. They didn't like that.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. But yeah, I did all that All-Star Echo Link, the Hoyt phones, and I mean, in the 2 years that I've been a ham, I've really done a lot. So it's fun, man. I wish I would have got into this sooner. I'm trying to find that 6-meter repeater. I'm on a repeater book right now, and I just searched 6-meter, and nothing came up. I wonder if I got to hit FM or something. Or is it FM? What is it?
A 6-meter repeater is FM. It's 51.2. Let me see. So they got one in Canada too, and they have a net be going in Canada too. Canada's is 53.030. With one meg or something down. So if you were to put that offset in there on Canada, it would be, when you key up, it would be 52.00030. And then when it unkey it, just like I said, it'll say 53.030. Now let me see. Detroit is 51.840. There you go. 51.840. And theirs is a half a meg. So it's a half, like a negative 500 down. And when you put that in there with a PL of 100 hertz, you should be able to bring it up.
All right, yeah, I found it now. I got it. I had to put it in FM in the search. So there's one. There's actually five of them within 50 miles of my house, which is up near Port Huron. Because there's one in Lake Angeles. That's 53.9400. There's one in Southfield that's 52.6800. And then the Detroit one, you were right, 51.8400. The Windsor one is 53.050, and then there's one in Mayville, which is 51.8200. So, I'll have to play around with them.
Hey, give me a minute. Well, I didn't even know all that. Let me write all these frequencies down. Hold on.
All right, let me know when you're ready. They're all 1 megahertz shift, except for the Detroit one, so... I can actually read them all off.
Okay, go ahead. Give it to me.
All right. The first one is in Lake Angeles in Oakland County. It's 53.94000, and then the offset is 1, so it'd be 52.9400, and the PL is 131.8.
Hold on. Oh, give me 1 second. Hold on 1 second.
No problem. I was sitting here bored, so I'm glad I got someone to talk to.
Okay, now please start all over. Now, I'm an old man now. So I'm 70 years old. You got to take it slow with me now.
All right, no problem. If you want the call sign for the repeater, the first one is November Echo 9 Yankee. And that's in Lake Angeles, which is Oakland County. And let me know if you got all that, and I'll be able to tell you the frequency.
It said November Echo 9 Yankee.
Roger, roger.
Okay, give me the frequency to that.
All right, the frequency is 53.94000, 53.9400, and it's a negative 1 megahertz offset with a PL of 131.8.
Wow, okay. What's the next one?
Alright, the next one is Whiskey 8 Hotel Delta, and that's in Southfield. Whiskey 8 Hotel Delta in Southfield. And the frequency is 52.6800, and it's a negative 1 offset with no PL tones.
Okay, so that's Whiskey 8 Henry Delta.
Roger, roger.
Okay, what's the next one?
Alright, so you got the Detroit and the Windsor, so the last one is Kilo Bravo 8 Zulu Uniform Zulu. So that's Kilo Bravo 8 Zulu Uniform Zulu to Mayville, and it's 51.82000. 51.82000 with a negative 1 offset and 131.8 tone.
Oh man, as much as I love 6 liters, how in the world did this get by me?
Well, you can get on the internet, and there's a site called repeaterbook.com. I think it's repeaterbook.com. I got an app for it on my phone, repeaterbook. It's the app. And then, yeah, you could search all different ones. That's where I found it.
Should have known that. I'm up on them books, but I don't know how I overlooked the 6 meter receipts, man, because, Jesus. I had no idea it was so many around. Oh, man. Only one I knew of was one here in Detroit, and that's not that far from me, and then the one in Canada, and I could get, I don't know, I can't get into Canada now because they must have lowered their repeater. I got family over in Canada, and I'm always over there. Matter of fact, I'll be going over there today and see my kids and my grandkids and talk to the Canadian guys over there, and they lowered their repeater for some reason. I don't know why. But at one time, I could get in there with no problem.
Well, I think you were saying it was 53.03000, and this is showing 53.05000. So, and then the PL tone is 118.8. So I don't know if that's different from what you had. Maybe they changed it. I'm not sure.
They can use both of them. They can use 53.030 or 53.5, 53.0, something like that. Because one of them is up here, they like length of Delta according to what they said. One of them is farther up towards Chatham or something like that. So I'm not sure, but I never could get in the 53.0 50-50, I get in 53.030.
I wonder if it went down, because it's not showing it as on here when I did the search, so maybe it's not active anymore, the 0301.
Yeah, well, I'm glad I ran across you, because that's something I'm going to have to look in. I have to talk to those guys over there. I'll be going over there today, seeing my grandkids, and I talk to them. A lot of times I have lunch and stuff over there. Some of the Canadian guys over there that I know, Greg.
All right, yeah, that's good. It's saying it's in Windsor, too. The 53.050 is in Windsor, it says. So maybe they changed it around, and that's the only one they got now.
Even think about that. You might be right. I do know the building that antenna sits up. Downtown Windsor, I do know, so, yeah, that's great. Now, you said, how far are you from Detroit now?
My home QTH is, it says it's 42.2 miles southwest, but I actually have a Yaesu 710 that'll probably, well, I don't have a wire for that, though. I use dipoles when I'm, or not dipoles, ham sticks when I'm portable with that radio. But yeah, like Sterling Heights, I'm there a lot. That's a lot closer. But yeah, I'm 42.2 miles from the Detroit repeater, the 6-meter one.
Okay. Where you are now, what do you have set up for 6?
Oh, right now I don't have anything set up for 6 in Sterling Heights. I do have a Yaesu 710, which is a newer radio that'll probably do it. But I don't know if I have an antenna that'll do it, because I've got ham sticks, not for that band. And then I've got a Chelyans MC750 vertical that I think 80s. I could do 80 and 40. And everything on down to 10, but I don't think I have an antenna to do it unless I put up a wire.
Well, that's all right. I mean, you could probably do it. You could get you a wire or either. Okay, let me ask you. The ham stick, are they you can sort of put different, how can I say it, can you use a different one of those, you can change them up, change them, the megahertz, like you can go anywhere from like 6 megahertz, what am I trying to say, 6 meters all the way up to 160 meters. Is that how that works? You can take it out and put different meters in there?
Yeah, basically my Magna mount that I'm using for this 2-meter radio, 70-centimeter radio, is an NMO mount. So I've got an adapter for that NMO mount to where I can screw a ham stick in there. And then each band is a different ham stick. So I need to look and see if they make a ham stick for 6 meters. They might. I don't know. I'm going to Google it right now.
You know, I got a friend that got one like it. I was trying to make sure that that's what you had. They do. You get that, you'll be able to get in the 6 meters.
Oh, look at that. Gigaparts has a Shark SF. 6 Shark mono band, I think, is a 6 meter. Let me see. Yeah, 6 meter, 44 inches. And then they have another one that's an Intellitron 6 meter ham stick for $15. I gotta order one.
Yeah, man, you have a fall. You get that 6 meter. It's not that many people down there. And see, the thing is, there's a guy way up there where you are. Wait a minute. Where are you now?
Well, the closest big city to me, well, not big city, but well-known is probably Richmond. And then I'm not too far from Marysville. And then Memphis is like 8 miles west. So, like, if you went by Port Huron, if that's all you know, I'm about maybe 15 miles, maybe 20 miles southwest of Port Huron.
Yeah, well, you might have to get that base. You might have to put it up, put it outside or something like that in order to hit the 6-meter repeater down here in Detroit there. Yeah. But, yeah, that's, I got, well, a friend of mine, he lives over on the east side there, that KADKP Charles, and he lives in Warren, Michigan. He's closer to Roseville. And he can hit it with a mag mount antenna. He's got set up in his apartment, the 6-meter repeater there. So there's a chance you may be there and a chance you may not be. But if you can't hit it, that means you're not high enough. Yeah, you gotta put that baby up. I don't know what type of house you live in, but if you live in a bungalow house like mine, and you've got upstairs in the attic, I'm sure you'd be able to hit it there.
Yeah. When I'm down in Sterling Heights, which is close to Warren, I just got the Magna mount on my truck. So, and I sit in the driveway at my parents' house. It's when I'm down here, I'm visiting them. And then my house up near Port Huron, I've got that long 130-foot wire that's resonant from 80 to 10. So, when I'm at my house, I'm pretty sure I can use that wire and do the full 100 watts on that TS-2000, and I'll probably hit Detroit.
Yeah, well, when you're in your mobile down here, you said you can work. You got 6 meters in the mobile because you can use that ham stick, and you will really get into it when you're down here in the mobile.
Yeah, I'm actually ordering that 6-meter ham stick right now so I can play around with it. I don't know how long it's going to take. And well, yeah, it's a 3 to 10 business days, but, I ain't paying no more than that for shipping. but I'm going to order one and play around with it. I like trying new stuff.
Well, all you got to do is, all set in there, because, put 50, 51.840, and you know, a half a meg down negative with 100 PL, and you should be able to get into it. Yep. And see, there's a guy that lives up there, up by you there. He talks to a guy down here by the bridge, down here by me, down here by the Ambassador Bridge. And I said, well, why you guys talk so far away? Why y'all use 6 feet to talk so far away? He said, well, we can't talk. We can't talk on the regular repeaters because the VHF, UHF, you know, you got to have, we got to be within distance. Whereas the 6 meters, it's got a long stretch. And they can talk from like you said, way up there. The guy down here at the bridge talks to the guy way up there in, where was he? Up there somewhere by you. I said, wow, you know, so 6 meters does travel a longer way, but you have to have an antenna up in the air there.
Okay, so do I have to use an HF radio and put that on FM? Or, because my mobile, I wonder if my mobile would do it. Probably not.
What is your mobile? What it cover?
I don't know. I gotta look that up. Hold on a minute. Let me look it up. All right, I got a page up. I gotta find the description here. I don't. Yeah. Okay. 150 to. Oh no, it does more than that. It says 150 to 174, but it does UHF too. So this ain't telling me the right info.
No, 150, that's commercial band. 150 and the 174, that's commercial. A ham band is like 144 to 147.
Yeah, the description is not saying the right thing. I mean, I have to find it somewhere else. I'm looking down first. Yeah, let me find a different page. This one's not showing the right thing because it's the exact radio I got in the description, but they're saying it's only 150 to 174, which is, that ain't right. Hang on a minute.
Okay,
yeah, this is just a UHF, VHF. That's what I thought. 400 to 480 and 136 to 174. But yeah, my Yaesu FT710 will definitely do it. I just have to set it up on the dash and not play around with it. So, all depends on how quick that 6-meter handset gets here, and I'll give it a shot when it gets here. Might not be, well, I'll probably be back at my house trying it with the NFED halfway before this gets here, but no, that'll be neat to have something new to try out.
Man, you stick with me, I have you doing all kind of stuff. I have you doing all kind of stuff. Because I'm into the digital, too. I'm into GMR, G-Star, and Fusion. You got anything like that?
Well, I haven't messed with the D-Star because I don't have a radio that does it. And I do have a... I've got an HT that is Fusion, actually two of them. I've got the one expensive Yaesu one, the 5D or something, and the 70D. And then I have a FTM 6000. I don't think that one does Fusion, though. Maybe it does. Mobile radio, but that's not hooked up anywhere right now.
I think that will do it. I think that will, Yaesu 6000. I think that's strange. I think that will do it. Wait a minute, is that a mobile radio or a base radio?
It's a mobile, and I vaguely remember that it didn't do it, and I was like kind of bummed because it was a Yaesu radio, and I thought it would. But yo, my HD does. The Zombie Network, Zombie Net. I've checked into that a couple times, and then the DMR. I got the TYT 878, and this is a DMR radio I'm talking on right now, actually. So the TYT MB9600, my mobile radio. I've done the DMR. I've done. I've got an Echo Link. I've got All Star Nodes. I actually got an All Star Hub. I don't remember the number of it. What is it? 16? I don't know. I don't remember it offhand, but. Yeah, I've done everything but the D-Star and I've done the Fusion, but I'm not, like, I'm not big on that yet. I haven't done it very much.
Oh, that's too bad. But I was going to tell you, you should order that thumb drive for your computer, and it'll give you D-Star, DMR, and Fusion in the house. It's, I mean, just as long as you got a computer microphone there. And you can get on a Zombie, you can get on all that stuff, plus on D-Star, because, you get on Reflector. A lot of us is up on Reflector. We're in this area, Reflector, let's see, what is Reflector? I ain't been down there in a while. Reflector 66 Delta. Reflector 66 Delta. And we used to, the main one in Michigan is a lot of us on the Reflector. Let's see, Reflector 48 Charlie, and as I know, people in Indiana is on Reflector 48B, you know, 48 Bravo. But if you have set that up, you'll love that. You know, you can talk to people in a different state. You know, flip over to their Reflector. Of course, some of them ones around the world. You know, some people talk a foreign language, you're not going to understand them, but the ones that talk English, we have no problem there. You're not familiar with the thumb drives, are you?
I don't think so. In a minute here, I'm going to look it up right now. I'm finishing ordering that 6-meter hamstick. Because I definitely want to play around with it. Why does it do that? They should put the little, for the date, it's 11/28, and it doesn't have an exclamation, or not exclamation, what am I calling it? There, it's a dash, okay, 11/28. There we go. Yeah, I'm not familiar with that. Tell me
good
a little
morning.
About that one.
0, 300 hours.
Look up hours. Northwest Digital. 40. Northwest Digital, because my thumb drive costs $119. I don't know if it went up or whatever, but a lot of us got those thumb drives. As a matter of fact, I got two of them, because I can hook it up to my telephone, too, and get on D-Star.
Okay, once this order finishes here, I'm going to ask what that is again to look it up. All right, cool. 6 meter hamstick is ordered. Okay, what was that? I'm going to Google now.
Northwest Digital thumb drive. Northwest Digital thumb drive.
All right, yeah, I see it. It's 119. I don't know if I'm going to order that now, but I definitely want to see what it's all about here. So I get you on D-Star and Fusion, too?
That's right. Get me on D-Star, Fusion, and, let's see, there's four modes. D-Star, Fusion, and D-Star, Fusion, and D-Star, Fusion, and DMR. Yeah, you can get DMR, too. So, it's pretty neat, man. You won't have to use your radio so much.
I'm almost wondering if my MMBVM hotspot will do that, because I can get into Fusion with that. I bet you I can get into D-Star with that if I play around with it, too. Might already have something that can do with D-Star, and I don't realize it.
Oh, yeah, well, you know, a lot of radios, you know, you can get a hotspot and do that, you know, again, in certain things like that. Excuse me, but, I guess you could do it that way, too. I mean, I love the thumb drive because it turns my computer into a ham radio. And I can go down the list of all that stuff. Hey, what type of phone do you have? An Android or iPhone or whatever?
Yeah, I got an Android.
Okay, hose line in your phone?
Oh yeah, I think I have that, but it's been a while since I used it. Hose, yeah, DM, Grandmaster hose line. That's what this MMBVR goes through too.
Right. Okay. you ain't that far behind. I mean, you're not that far behind there. It seems like you got something going on over there. So, okay. Yeah, as long as you know that. So, but, you know, I got so much equipment I get into. Like I said, you know, with a thumb drive, I can plug it in my phone. I can plug my computer and it's pretty neat, you know, how I can go to different reflectors and stuff like that. So you're not really big in a D-Star, right?
Well, only because I thought you needed a special radio for it. If I could do it with my DMR radio and the hotspot, then I'm going to definitely go down that rabbit hole, because I got a couple days here where I'm not going to be at my house, and I don't have a whole lot to do. But did you say you can get on All-Star with that?
You know, I'm not all that familiar with All-Star. I do have friends that can probably tell you a little bit more about it there. But, you know, I'm overwhelmed with all the stuff that I got. You know, I'm sure you probably can, though. But, but I enjoy the thumbs, like I said, the thumb drive, because it gives me four modes. I can't remember that other mode. It'll do D-Star, DMR, Fusion, and there's one other mode that I can do, and it's fun. It's just like having a base radio, but it turns your computer into a base radio. And, you go in there. I'm sure you got a microphone for your computer because you got EchoLink. And, you go down and you can just hit this button, and it'll take you over to D-Star. Hit this other button, you're in the Fusion, and hit this other button, you're in the other mode and stuff like that. It's amazing, man, what you can do with that thing.
Oh, okay, that's the Blue DV. Blue DV, I think Eric that was on here earlier has one of them. So D-Star, DMR, and Easy Fusion. Okay. Yeah, D-Star is the only one I haven't messed around with. I messed around with DMR, and I've played with Fusion a little bit, but I haven't got into the Fusion where you get on the computer and you can see the different rooms and stuff. I still have yet to do that. The problem with that is there's a Fusion repeater near here where I'm at now, but there isn't up at my house, so I have to figure out how to use that MMDVM hotspot and do it. That's just the digital modes. I got all out in All-Star. I am all about that. I know how to do that. I actually got a All-Star hub up in a cloud server, and that people can connect to that do All-Star. And then the DMR, I'm pretty proficient in that. But yeah, the D-Star I just never messed with, and the Fusion I haven't really dove into enough yet.
I'll be having a fall on D-Star stuff, because I have a D-Star radio in my car, 5100, Icon 5100. And when I go to Dayton, I talk to my friends from here all the way down there with no problem. You know, with D-Star, with my open spot. My open spot 2, they got the open spot 4 out now. And so they got the, you know, they went from 1 to 4. And if you get to a 4, open spot 4, you can switch some kind of way you can switch digital. You can have a, say like this is you got a Fusion radio. So you can switch it over where it can do a little cross over to D-Star and all that stuff, man.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure my MMDVM hotspot does all that. I just gotta figure it out, because I think I got into the zombie net from my house with that hotspot. So if I could do that, then I'm sure I could probably do D-Star too. I don't know. I'll have to play around with it. That'll give you something to do tomorrow. I'll look up everything at D-Star and try to get into that and figure it out.
Yeah, well, you got number time. Sound like you, young man. Me, I got less time in front of me than I do behind me. I don't know how they put that. But anyway, it's all fun. When I first started in, when I was a kid, I just couldn't understand. I said, how in the world these police can talk on radios in their car? How do they do that? It's like a telephone in their car. Where's the wire? And so a friend of mine, you know, when the police come on the block back in the day, and they say, if you get a radio plan, and so I said, I was speaking out loud to my friends, because we always gather around the police when they come around. And my friend said, look, you see that little antenna on top of the car? That's what they use. And then all of a sudden, so I started noticing that antenna. I said, look at all police cars. And I said, dang, yes, he's right. Got the little antenna on there. And then I said, well, what the hell is the undercover police cars? You know, the unmarked police cars. And they didn't have an antenna on it. And found out that their antenna, they had, back in the days, they had VHF, they would have their antenna built inside the windshield, inside, so you wouldn't know unless you look real hard. And because back in the days, they used to drive those Plymouth cars when I was little, and it had a bubble back glass, and you had to look hard to see it. The rest right on the glass. So, and pretty soon it just, one thing led to another.
Wow, that's cool. Yeah, I'm gonna be 52 here in December. I had to retire early because I took an antibiotic called Cipro that gave me some permanent side effects. So yeah, I worked at Ford as a pipe fitter for 28 years. I had to retire early, so I got time, and I'm a little bit younger than you, but not a whole lot. But yeah, I used to do the CB all the time when I was younger, and had them on our cars and played around with that, and then I kind of got out of that, and because I think cell phones came and everybody stopped using them, and so yeah, here about two years ago, I'm like, hey, I wonder if anybody ever uses those CBs anymore, and I started Googling that, looking into that, then I found GMRS, and I'm like, oh, I bet you that's the new thing now, so I bought a GMRS HT radio, and got on it, and I think Don, Professor Don, was one of the first people I talked to on there, and then a whole group of guys, Dave, Eric, Sean, they all were on there, and they're like, yeah, you need to get your ham license, so I looked into that and got that, like, probably within 2 weeks of them telling me about it. I studied up and got my tech, and then it's all been uphill or downhill or whatever you want to say from there. I've done so much. Like I said, I actually talked to 6 astronauts, 3 different ones, 6 times through the space station repeater. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I used to listen to Don. Because this 991A is what you all know on them channels you're talking about. And I listened to him talk to St. Donald. Donald up there on that frequency too. I'll go get my license for that. And it's like you said, a new CB. You know, you can, your whole, all your people can, people in your family can use it as long as the station at your house and all that stuff. So, but it's all right. But it just don't be ham radio. Like I love my ham radio. I go all over the world talking about this thing. I guess, well, let me talk to some of the guys over there in England. I get on there on 40 meters, let's see, 75 meters at night and talk to them guys over there. And, you know, and during the day, of course, I'll be on, I can work 40 in the day, too, and 10 meters, you know, 10 meters up to 40 meters and stuff. So I talk to my friend in Maryland. Every day on there, just like I'm talking to you right now. And he's got a nice setup over there in Maryland there. And he lives over there by my family. And that's how I ran into him on Echo Link. And we started, and then when I found out what setup he had, that's when we started talking on Asia.
Okay. Yeah, I have a lot of fun on Asia. I've been doing a little bit of that POTA, where you go to parks and activate the parks, and then... my HF radio, both of them are 100 watts, and I was all over the place, all over the world with the 100 watts, I got the Ameritron 811 amp, I think 600 watts, it just blew my mind. So I get the amp, okay, and I actually made a QSO with Australia, and I'm just like, all right, this amp is so cool. So then, like a week and a half, 2 weeks later, I got my portable HF radio here in Sterling Heights with the ham stick, 20 meter, and I hear New Zealand, and I'm like, I gotta try this, and 100 watts, I got New Zealand with a ham stick, you know, and it's just so amazing what you could do. I mean, there was one guy in Belgium I talked to probably for about a half hour talking about fishing, and I mean, it's just a lot of fun, man. I should have got into this a lot sooner.
Well, I, as a kid, I didn't told you half the story, but the thing how I got into ham radio, are you familiar with, those radios that you could turn the knob that to listen to the police before the scanners came out?
Well, I know scanners because my grandpa had one the whole time I was growing up. But Yeah, I'm not sure. I know what a scanner is. Old scanners were, but I don't know if it was like the one you're talking about.
Okay, this radio came out before the scanner. This radio. Okay, do you know, I'm sure you, I mean, even though you're a lot younger than me, I'm sure you remember radios that you could turn the knobs to tune in the station's frequencies, right?
Oh, you mean just like FM, AM radio?
Absolutely. AM and FM radio, absolutely. Now they got digital radios, digital. But right, I asked my mom to get me a radio like that for Christmas. But the thing is, with this radio I had, it would do AM and FM, shortwave one, shortwave two, aircraft, marine. Let's see, did I get all of them covered? And police one, police two. Now police one was VHF. Police two was low VHF, because back in those days, the state police used to be on the low band. These and Ontario provincial police, like they call them the OPPs over in Canada, and I used to listen to them until they moved up to the 800 megahertz. They moved up when Detroit and some of these other suburbs, they moved up to the 800 megahertz. So everybody is pretty much up there now.
Okay, yeah, so you had one of the radios that did more than AM, FM, okay. Yeah, I remember seeing them when I was younger, too. Yeah, I still remember Channel 2, 4, 7, and 9, and was that in Canada? I mean, yeah, I had a little black and white TV in my bedroom with the little rabbit ears and stuff. So, yeah, I'm still kind of right there with you.
Yeah, there you go. Was that now? Let me just say this. With my 8-band radio, if you look on the knob, like I said, most of the police in this department, and probably up towards your way too, it was on VHF, and they would be around 154 to maybe, no, I'll take that back, 153 to maybe about 155, and then you got some police like Dearborn used to be on 158, and you just turn the knob and you just tune them in, right?
Right, yep, I know what you're talking about.
Okay, so, with my 8-band radio on VHF, it would go from 44 to, 44 to 174. So up there by 174. So up there by 147, something like that. The ham band was there, and I'm like, and I turned at the end of the knob, and I'm hearing all this Morse code, and I can hear people talking, and in Toronto and places far away. I said, what the heck is this? And they didn't sound like police. They didn't, I said, pretty soon I listened, and then I heard them talking about there was a swap coming in Hazel Park. And so I had me and my friends, we wanted to go to see what it was all about. I took my 5-watt walkie-talkie up there, one of them big walkie-talkies. And I went up and, some guy come up there and says, hey, what do you got there? I got my 5-watt walkie-talkie. And he had a 6-meter backpack radio. And he told me, well, I'll talk to you with 1 watt. What the heck are you talking about? I got a 5-watt walkie-talkie. What is he talking about? Well, as time went on, I understood that 6 meter travel farther than most times than the CV did. It depends. Anyway, I was in there and I was listening to all the other guys, and at that time, they didn't have those what they call simplified radios where you can tune like we got today. You had to put the crystals in those, and a lot of them had Motorola handheld radios, like the police. I said, wow, that's pretty cool, and stuff like that. So it got me and my friend interested. Let me buy some time. It got me and my friends very interested in that, and they became hams before me because at that time he had to take more coal. And of course, I wasn't as good as they were. They iced that stuff like it was nothing. So then one day they said, hey, Jay, you don't have to worry about Morse code anymore. It's got no code right in the 90s. So that's when I had got my license there. Go ahead.
Wow, that's neat. Yeah. Yeah, and it's funny, too, because my whole life, I started off on the CB radios and then fizzle valve, but then, like, when I went deer hunting and stuff, we would use the FRS radios, and I'd always think about the CB, and I don't understand why I've never learned about ham radio anywhere. I mean, I remember seeing, like, what is it, Herman Munster on the Munsters, doing the ham radio and stuff like that, but, like, I never knew it was, like, an option for me until 2 years ago, and I was like, maybe it was because of the Morse code.
What was Herman Munster's call sign?
I didn't think I could learn that, because I still don't think I want to learn that. but, yeah, I don't know. It's just, I wish I would have got into it a lot sooner, because I'm having a lot of fun with it.
Okay, it's not like somebody said we ought to ID. I'm sorry about that. This is N8WJL, November 8, Whiskey, Julie Lima. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just thinking that, too. This is Whiskey 8, Charlie Papa Tango, for ID. But, yeah. I'm sitting here thinking, we have an ID.
Captain Don.
This time of night, nobody's on. So.
What's that trying to get in there? Is that you, Sean?
No, I said, what was Herman Munster's call sign?
Well, you gotta, I don't know, you gotta ask the other gentleman that. I guess he's asking you what was Herman's call sign.
Oh, okay.
He had a real call sign. He did.
W6XRL4.
He had a real call sign.
Yeah, you can look it up in QRZ. Yeah, Herman Munster had some really funky call sign, and you can look it up on Google if you don't believe me. And that was one of the best Munsters episodes anyhow. This is W8EAP, not Sean.
How are you guys doing with these W calls? It don't sound like y'all that old.
Well, mine's a vanity. I ended up getting W8CPT for Captain Don. Before I retired, I was a sturgeon fishing charter captain out in the St. Clair River. So I got the vanity call. And it's pretty neat. I looked that up. The original person that had that call sign was out of Detroit. And his last name was Probert. I can't remember his first name now, though. And it was way back in, like, 1950s or something.
Very interesting. Very interesting. That's a good answer. Yep, it's all good, but, but like I said, the D-Star, I love D-Star. I used to love GMR. Yeah, it was pretty neat, but when I got into D-Star, that was it. At the mimes, I talked to my friends, I'd go all the way down the state and talk to them just like being on the telephone, as long as you got Wi-Fi and everything. That's pretty neat, the way this ham radio system sort of improved over the years, coming up. But I never forget, let me bite the time. I never forget before the cell phones came out. Cell phones, before they came out, you go to Dayton, and everybody's mother, brother, sister, uncle, everybody had an HT. But it used to be crowded. You had to put the encode, decode in there, and it would cut down some of the noise. You know, you can talk to your other friends. But I never forget, I took my girlfriend down there for the first time back in the day, and I said, look, I said, if we get lost from each other, just grab any ham operator, and I wrote my call sign down and the frequency I would be on, and they can get in contact with me. And lo and behold, where did she go? She's gone. She wanted to try it out. And next thing you know, a ham operator called me. He said, NHWJL, Jay, are you there? I said, yeah, this is NHWJL. He says, you got a girl that's looking for you over here in the cafeteria. Way on the other side. And she said, she'd like for you to meet her there. And she just thought that was so cool.
Yeah, that's neat. There's not too many young ladies that are into the ham radio. I know that. It's pretty funny when I'm on HF and chasing the POTA. You'll hear a woman on there, and every time I look her up on Cures, that her voice does not match. Sounds like it's, you know, a young to middle-aged woman, and you look, and she's like, you know, 60, 70, and it's like, wow, your voice does not match.
Yeah, it's all good. Before the cell phone, when the cell phone started getting popular, I'll never forget, I was in Maryland, and I was at a store that sold Cellular One, those backpack cell phones, Cellular One. And I told that man in that store, I said, ain't nowhere in the world I get a cell phone. That thing's too expensive. I'll never own one of them. And that man told me, I'll never forget what that old man told me. He said, sir, there's going to be a day when everybody's going to have a telephone in their pocket or something. I thought that was crazy. Not me. Not as expensive as these things are. And, well, there you go. When they came out, I'll never forget. I got my first cell phone just the year of 9/11. 9/11 was September, and I got mine in August, the month before that. And boy, and had no idea how cheap it would be to have a cell phone.
Yep. I had my first cell phone was one of those bag cell phones back when I was in high school, or just out of high school. I graduated in 91, and I had one of those bag phones in my car. Man, was that thing expensive. I mean, I got one so I could be cool with the chicks, and I'm like, yeah, I'm calling you on my cell phone, or my mobile phone. And it was costing me like $120 a month. And I was like, ugh. So, yeah, that was when I had my first one. But then, like, the ones in the pocket, you know, I think my first one like that was the next telephones. And them were cool because you had the two-way radio built into the next telephone. That was fun. I don't know why they ever got rid of that. And, yeah, then it moved on up. And I remember my grandpa telling me that, you know, one day everybody's going to have a phone in their pocket. And he said it was going to tie into your home phone. So that was the only thing he was wrong about. But, yeah, he said everybody's going to have a little phone in their pocket and it's going to tie into their home phone. And he was close.
Yep, he was close. But they made towers. They had it in the newspaper. They made, you know, they could show how they're going to make the towers and everything, how it'll swing from one tower to the next. Now, the scanner, I don't know if you know it, but those scanners, Radio Shack scanners, used to pick up cell phones. And before then, they had scanners to pick up the Bell telephone coming. And that's, they got away from that. You know, you could hear all your conversation and stuff. But when they switched over to cell phone, man, I had a scanner you could pick up all that. Oh man, it was dead. But then you know they went to they encrypted. But before they encrypted, I mean you could hear everybody's calls on there. I had a Radio Shack scanner and a portable, and I could be in my car, and I could look at some guy talking on a cell phone, and all I got to do is hit a button and just keep scanning until I found him, and I could look at him, his lips moving, and his, somebody almost got in his way, and he blew his horn, and I could hear his horn and everything. Well, you know, but I wouldn't get no cell phone until they encrypted.
Well, how about the days when we still had the cordless telephones in the house and you would pick up a conversation on a cell phone? I remember that happened to me a couple of times, and I'd be sitting there talking to somebody, you know, like one of my buddies, and I'm like, who's that woman you got over there? And he's like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, I hear a woman talking right now. You don't hear that? He's like, no, I don't hear that. And I'm like, there's a woman having a conversation right now. And it was someone on their cell phone, and the cordless phone was picking it up.
Yeah, I was familiar with the cordless phone. I knew all the frequencies. A lot of them started off in the 49 bands. Not the 49 bands, 40 point something or other. And then they kept going up on the cell phones until they got into gigahertz and stuff like that, it would be impossible to even hear them anymore. But yeah, I remember those days, and you could hear baby monitors and all kind of stuff, man. I could tell you some horror stories, but I ain't gonna get out of here about that. But I just saw my CB radio down in my basement that I had a long time ago. A Pace 1023B. It's got sidebands, and it's a 23 channel radio. And I had a Glenn VFO hooked up to it where I can go up above channel 23 and 40 and go in between channel and below channel 1. And I had a Silver Eagle hooked up to it. Just found it. I ain't even tried to see if it'll work.
Yeah, I was going through my parents' garage, and my dad's got his old Cobra 40 channel with a whole bunch of buttons on it, and I seen it sitting on the shelf. I gotta climb over some stuff. I'm gonna grab that thing and take a look at it. I used to have one similar to it, but I think my dad might have the sideband, and mine didn't. And I had the K40 antenna. Yeah, we had a lot of fun on the CBs, and then we'd always hear those guys skipping from Florida and whatnot, and there was one guy that lived in the trailer park out here. He'd seen in Mound area, and I still remember his handle was Hitman, and he had a CB with an amp, and he had a tower, had his mobile home, and I used to think that was the coolest thing, and, that's as far as I thought it went, was, you know, using illegal power on a CB to talk around the world. Back then, I didn't know nothing about ham radio. And I was even in the Boy Scouts, and I hear Boy Scouts on the air now, you know, on ham radio. And I talk to quite a few of them whenever I hear a Boy Scout troop doing it on that weekend they do it. I always talk to as many of them as I can and tell them to keep going and get your eagle, because I was one badge away, and I wish I would have done it just because it would have been a good thing for life, you know. And I basically let the peer pressure push me on a Boy Scout, you know. But I mean, I was like, I was in Boy Scouts, and they have a merit badge for that, and how come I never learned about it, man?
Brother, you're really taking me back down memory lane. Yeah, I was a Cub Scout, and I was a Boy Scout. I never made Explorer, but I think that was a three scouts that you could do back in the days when I was coming up. That was a, I tell you, but memory, for sure, but, yeah. Excuse me. But, but just when I became a ham, I didn't, you know, 2 meters used to be so crowded. Nobody had to even use 440. 2 meters used to be so crowded. I had to say my call sign real fast, get in between people. It ain't up here. And sometimes I guess a lot of people say, why'd you say your call sign so fast, Jay? Well, it comes from back in the days when trying to get in between people. But now we got so many frequencies, we can go through high frequencies. We got any a tech and go all the way from just for 6 meters all the way up to the gigahertz. And a tech can also use, for HF, they can use 28.3 to 28.5 on 10 meters. And I think that's one other thing, I think with CW if you want to try that. But now, you know, it's just overwhelmed what we can do with ham radio now. You know, and a lot of the stuff that I believe that we, this modern technology when it comes to computers and electronics, I do believe it's a lot of them are ham operators there, Roger.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That's, yeah, getting into all that All-Star and stuff like that. And even the satellite stuff, that SAT PC-32 computer program that ties into the rig and does the rig control for the Doppler. I mean, I first got that program, and you have to pay for it through AMSAT. And it's shooting me freaking error messages in German and stuff. And I was having a heck of a time with that. And I even sent an email to AMSAT, and I'm like, this is outdated software. It's got error messages in German. You know, what is this? This is the best thing you guys got for satellite Doppler rig control, you know? And the guy that actually wrote the program emailed me, and he says, yeah, I know it's old software, and I can't get into it and change it because it was running on some kind of system that wasn't available anymore or something. And he kind of talked me through getting it set up a little bit, you know, through emails and whatnot. And then once I understood more of it, you know, the error messages really didn't matter because I wasn't getting them anymore. But, yeah, then he went and somehow updated it, and I never got the memo that they updated it after that, and now it's a little bit better. But just you know, some of the – I mean, I was in computers in high school, and it was binary code, ones and zeros, and it was nothing like it is nowadays. And just the advancement and all that. You look at, like you said, you look at the ham radio operators and the programs that they made and whatnot to control their rigs and stuff. And yeah, I think a lot of the technology kind of evolved from that too. Could even be some of it from aliens, you know? Because how do you fit a computer into a phone?
What's your name?
My name's Don. I go by Captain Don because there used to be more than one Don out here, but I think they're starting to dwindle down. Actually, other than there's one Donald that just got his ham license. I think we might be down to two now.
Okay, I had to step away for a minute. Okay, yeah, Don, are you familiar with that Hoseline website? You can see people's call sign is on digital, like a DMR.
Yeah, there's also one called QRZ. And, yeah, I looked at, well, I had yours looked up when I went and searched for Herman Munster. Come on. Let's see if I got it on other. But, yeah, QRZ, I'm on there, if you're on there at all.
You can... there's a Marco, a DMR model, DMR Marco or something. If I were to key up on my DMR radio, you'll see my call sign come across my name and all the information. And anywhere in the world, any ham operators, you can see all their calls. And I mean, popping up. Are you familiar with all that?
Yeah, this radio will do that. I think the Mount Clemens has a DMR repeater, and then I got that hotspot that does it too. And then, yeah, you said Brandmeister Hoseline. I had that up. Okay, yeah, I got that page up now.
Okay, give me a second. I want to see if you got this one. I'm trying to pull it up now. Hold on. Do you have the Control Center Mobile DMR?
Are you talking like an app on my phone? What are you talking about?
It's on your computer. It's on your computer. If you type in is Moto. Wait, hold on a minute. Control Center Moto GMI. Motorola. It says Motorola. Control Center Moto GMI.
Alright, I'm trying to find it on my cell phone just by going on a website. So you got Control Center Moto GMR?
MOTO GMR.
Okay, I think I'm on, it came up Moto GMR Control Center, but it's... Yeah, it's not. Doesn't look like it's changing though.
Right, it's not. Maybe it's down, or nobody's talking. But as soon as somebody's talking on GMR, and you'll even see your call sign pop up. If you're hitting one of those GMR systems there, you'll see your call sign, your name, and all that good stuff.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I just fired up my MMDVM hotspot. And now I can go to anything on DMR right now.
If you key up your radio, if you able to hit it, it'll come, you'll see your call sign and name and stuff coming up through there.
Yeah, I'm trying to get on the frequency that has the link to this hotspot. I'll find it eventually.
Yeah, if it's breaking up, I can tell you how weak you are, how strong you are, everything.
So, like, go to, like, talk through worldwide or something, and then it'll show up on here?
Worldwide, North America, you name it. That's the thing with DMR in it.
Having trouble finding my frequency for, maybe it's not in, oh, here we go, Pi Star. Okay. So now I got to remember how to do this.
Somebody keying up because you can see it moving now.
Oh, yeah. Yep, now it's moving. Okay. I want to key up on something here. I had to switch radios off. The TY key I got is like, you got to hit all these buttons to switch groups and this OpenGDU77 firmware that I got on my the Anytone I meant. I don't like that one as much as this TYT UV390 with this OpenGDU77 firmware on it. I can switch talk groups a heck of a lot easier. Let's see. I'll just go to Michigan 1 maybe, just for the heck of it. Sure if it's working or not. I don't see my call sign on there. Maybe it didn't work, unless it's slow.
Brandmeister, right?
Yeah, there we go. I did USA Bridge and I showed up. I keyed up on it.
You said you in Columbus, Michigan. I didn't even know we had a Columbus, Michigan.
Yeah, that's why I say I'm up near Port Huron, because it's a little township out in the farmland. It's like between Port Huron, Richmond, Memphis, and Marysville, I guess, up in that area. It's just a real little, honestly, I think we got a township hall, a bar, and we just have a grain elevator, but it's gone now.
Yeah, well, I know a guy that lives up here. I don't know if you know, it's so long so I have to talk to him, but he lives in the slum, though. He lives up in the slum. I haven't heard him out there in a long time. It's just so long. I can't remember his name. And it's called Sam.
This is pretty neat, though. It shows everybody's, everybody is keyed up everywhere. That's kind of cool, New York. So you can actually see where there's some activity. I mean, there's always activity on the worldwide one. There's Larry T in Roseville. confidence. I think he's in the Ontario group.
Yeah, they got on the telephone to call MB. It was a Grandmeister, BM Grandmeister. And you can see, you can click on that and see him. And you can hear him talking on the phone. You can hear him talking.
Yeah, I could just hit one button on my radio and then switch to whatever one I see. As long as it's Brandmeister.
Yeah, Roger, on that. That's pretty neat. It's got so much stuff, man. Are you familiar with the, let's see, Rick Pick? Are you familiar with Rick Pick?
That's another one I haven't heard of, I don't think. Rick Pick, like R-I-K-P-I-C or something?
No, it's R-I-G-P-I-X. Type that in, it'll give you any, and then you can look up in, you can see all my radios, you can see all the radios, from, you can bring it up and it'll tell you what's on them radios. HF radio, mobile radio, you name it.
So it's Rig, Romeo India Golf, and then Papa India X-Ray?
You got it. Dot, I can't remember if it's dotlaura.com, one of them, dotlaura.com, but it'll pull up, and you know, you can, and then you can click on whatever, company that you want, ICOM, Yaesu, and it'll bring all the radios that you look it up, if you know the model number. Like, for instance, you can look up yours, and it'll tell you everything about your radios, the radios you got.
Yeah, I was looking for Yaesu. For some reason, it ain't on the left side there. What the heck?
Well, it's on there. Got to put on your glasses. It's on there. Yaesu, ICOM. Yaesu, ICOM, Kenwood. And what is that other one? Another one, too.
ICOM. But yeah, no, I'm looking on the left column, and they're in alphabetical order. When you get down by Y, you've got Yupatoria or something, and something I never even heard of, and then Zygu is above that, so there's no Yaesu. What the heck?
Wait a minute, let me go to that website. Hold on.
Okay, it's at the top. They got it says Ham and SWO, ICOM, Kenwood, and Yaesu. Okay. It's at the top. They got that in a different group.
Okay. Well, you can, if you can look at my radio, the Yaesu 847, go to Yaesu and type in the 847, and you'll see just how it'll show you how my radio looks and what it'll do. And so, and my Yaesu 991A and any other radio, ICOM, Kenwood, I got a couple of Kenwoods, and my 5100, my D-Star, you know, 5100 ICOM. So it'll tell you all that.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I see yours looks a little newer than the FD840 Yaesu that I had. That's kind of that's the one that broke, huh? The 847. That's a decent little radio. Wow.
I love that radio. Yeah, you know, and it's not like my Yaesu 847 I'm talking on. But my Yaesu 847, it's got two connections. You got one connection for a 6 meter and HF, and the other one for 2 meter 440. My Yaesu 847 has separate connections, four separate connections, one for 6 meters, one for HF, and one for 2 meters, and one for UHF.
Yeah, that's like my Kenwood. It's got an N connector for, that one's for 2 meter or 70 centimeter, I don't remember. And then it's got another one, you know, one for 2 meter, one for 70 centimeter. And I think it's got two for HF, if I remember. I like that radio. if that radio had a waterfall, it would be like the perfect radio.
Yeah, well, that go with the time and change, you know. Yeah, but I love both of it. I'm gonna find a way to get that radio fixed. I love that radio. Man, I kept that radio nice and good condition and everything. And it broke my heart when that girl dropped it in the box. Knocked off three knobs and they didn't even want to pay. I'm like, what the, and I put insurance on it. So the guy down in Florida said, I can't fix this. I can't find parts for that radio. It's too old. Oh, man.
Yeah, I'm looking up that the very first HF radio I bought last year when I started the Yaesu FT840. And I remember when I bought that thing, I seen all them buttons on there, and I'm like, what am I going to do with all these buttons? It only took me about a month to know what they all did. But, yeah, there's even more buttons on that 847. And then the Kenwood TF2000, I still don't know what half of them buttons do. There's a lot of buttons on that radio.
Don't be like my friend Charles, KEADKP. He let that 991 intimidate him. He bought that thing for $1,300 and sold it to another friend of mine for $800.
Oh, wow. No, heck no. Yeah, that DX10 that I got, I pretty much know everything that does. And the FT710, that one's the one I use when I go portable. Both 100 watts. The DX10's got two different receivers or a mixed receiver. It's got a Heterodyne and what's the other one receiver? I don't know, but that one I could fine tune it a little bit more on a quiet like HF that I'm hearing somebody real quiet. I can play around with all the settings and get it so I can hear them better, a little bit more than I can on that FT710. But yeah, that 840, that first one I bought, that one basically, yeah, it still had a little bit of, you could fine tune a little bit with contour shift or something and stuff like that. But no, if I don't know what they are, the buttons, I'll play around with them and see if I can figure it out just by, you know, what it sounds like or vice versa. But yeah, that TS2000, I'm sure it's got everything that DX10 has and probably more. It's just you got to hit different buttons to make it work versus having that touch screen that, you know, you go into all the settings and change stuff.
Good morning.
Yeah, Roger. You still on that website?
Cloudy. 40 degrees.
Yeah, the one with all the radios?
Yeah, look up my HT. My ICOM 81A.
There's got to be a search here. I'm trying to look through all of them and I'm not finding it. Where's the search?
Let me see. It should be in the front, yeah, 81A. It's a HT. Maybe it might not be in there. I would assume it would be. But that's what I got. And that thing you can hold in the palm of your hand, and I can use my thumb to scan and scan the PLs and stuff. I use that radio with a speaker mic. I go out of town and get me a mag mount stick when I rent a car, stick it on there and run it. HT in a car with a speaker mic, and that's my instant mobile radio. That thing will do 2 meters, and it'll do 6 meters, 2 meters, 220, 440, 1.2 gigahertz.
Okay, is that the ICT-81A?
Well, it could be. I know it's an 81A. If it's an ICOM 81A, yeah.
Yeah, it's got a number pad, and that's gray. The radio's black, and it's got like a cursor button that's gray next to the speaker.
It's got a little round button at the top. Can you see that one?
Yeah, I think this is it. It's a 81 ICT-81A, and yeah, that's a neat little radio. They don't have it anymore, do they?
Oh, no. And I was so outdone, because I got two of them. I bought another from I love that radio so much. I had bought it from a guy in, at a swap. But when I was in Dayton one time, and this guy, I don't know, he just came up to me for all of a sudden, man. And he says, look what I bought for, $35 or something. I said, huh, what? He says, I just bought this from this guy, and I'll do this and that. I said, are you familiar with that? I said, yeah, where can I get it? He said, well, he's still got three left, and he's over here and somewhere in the flea market. So I went over there. He had already sold it just that fast. God, I was so outgunned.
Oh, man, that's a bummer. Yeah, the ICOMs and the Kenwoods and the older ones. I actually, there was a ham that passed away near me in Sterling Heights here. Actually, she had her ham license too, but it was her father. So, yeah, because the guy I knew, it was his father-in-law. So it was her father, and he had a ham license here, he had one in another country, and she said that she had some stuff that she just wanted to give to somebody, and if you could use it, use it. If you can give it to somebody else that needs it, if you don't need it, do that, and if it's no good, throw it out. And there was a tuner that was decent. I actually gave that to somebody that was giving it to a new ham, a manual tuner, and there was an HT, and I think it was an old Kenwood. Let me find a picture of it. Hold on a minute. Yeah, it was a Kenwood TH415A, and I mean, it looked really old. I'll have to look it up on the site. The TH415A, and I want to see what it actually does, because I never looked it up on a site like this.
It should be in that website.
Huh. I am not finding it. Andy Talkies. It's got to be there. TH. Wait, can I say 415A? I'm not seeing it. I'm going by the numbers. TH. 415A. Here it is. Okay. Let me see if I click that. It doesn't even show the picture of it. So it's saying it's a strict UHF radio. I actually hooked it up and I got it to get onto this repeater. The guy, I guess the battery was dead, and somehow he rigged in a cigarette lighter plug or something to it. And I actually got it working, and then I had to figure out how to program this repeater and the PL phone. It was such an old radio. Let's see, when was it made? It's a 1980X to 1990 discontinued. So, yeah, it was late 80s radio, HP, that was only UHF. And I actually got it working, and I was like, hey, this is cool.
What model was that?
It's a Kenwood Tango Hotel 415A is alpha. They don't have a picture of it, though, but it tells you all about it. It's just a 70-centimeter, 1 through 5 watt, and it does say low is 500 milliwatts. I didn't realize that.
Oh, okay.
I got it in my truck here. I should see if I can find it and talk on it real quick. Just for the heck of it.
Can you still hear me?
Yep, I hear you.
I'm trying to turn my power down because I got high SWR. I'm trying to turn it down. For some reason, it's high tonight. I wonder if it's raining outside or something.
Oh, man, I thought the radio was right here. Oh, wait, is this it? No. I'm not going to find it now, am I? Darn it. Oh, well. I was going to try to find that old thing and hook it up, but I don't see it now. Got to be buried under my back seat.
Oh, well, you know. I always say when you get time, you know, you'll get it that if you want it, you know. So, yeah, but it's so much just, it's pretty neat to how I get all of my friends, we all get together sometime and get on EchoLink. And you have about 10 guys in there on EchoLink talking. And we just kind of got pissed off with one of my friends because, you know, with EchoLink, if you don't watch it, if you link up to a repeater, people on that repeater can hear you. And one time we just talking all kind of ways, and next thing you know, we hear this more so, say, who in the hell got a repeater hooked up? and our friend Charles up there in Warren, he says, I got to connect. Let me just connect. Oh, brother.
I've got EchoLink. I don't usually go on it too much. I don't know. You might have been one of the ones that talked to my friend Thomas up in Minnesota. And he's into that EchoLink. And he'll tie it into my All-Star Hub and do the Handyham Net on Saturday night on there. I actually met him through the International Space Station repeater. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, I met him. I was talking to a guy up in Flint, Michigan. And we were some way, you know, we was on this repeater or something. And it was hooked into Flint's machine. And I got to talk to this guy. He was a pretty new ham, too. And he didn't know nothing about EchoLink. Well, he had it, but he didn't know what it would do. I said, well, I talked to the guy in Minnesota, all of us go to EchoLink. And then I got my friend Charles and Warren to come on there. We had a four-way conversation. He thought it was pretty cool, you know. It's like being in a chat room, but as long as you ain't, you know, not connected to a repeater, having EchoLink is a good tool, especially for those hams that doesn't have a radio or cannot set a radio up in the apartment and anything.
Yeah. Like my great uncle, he's been a ham for years, and he had some kind of a job where he was working at the Johnson Space Center in Florida, and he went into a nursing home in Arizona, or a group home, not really a nursing home, I guess it was assisted living or something, and he couldn't bring any of his antennas and whatnot. And the bad thing with that is he wasn't tech savvy enough to figure out how to use the EchoLink and all that stuff. So, and I was so far away, there's no way I could show him. I think he's in Florida now in another home closer to his son. But, you know, stuff like that. I actually thought about trying to send him a note for All-Star so he could hook in his, you know, repeaters in Arizona and all that. But I wasn't sure if he was going to be able to figure it out. I think he's like 90-some years old. So he actually let his license lapse because he didn't have any access to any radios that, you know, could work in Florida there. So I call him up once in a while on the cell phone and talk to him talk to him about what I'm doing in ham radio. And like when I made the astronaut contact through the space station, I sent him the video I had on YouTube of it, and he's just like, wow, this is so cool. And then he'll tell me stories about his ham radios, which he used to conduct parades in Arizona and stuff when he was younger. It's kind of neat.
Well, that's too bad. Wish I could have talked to him and get him up and rising in EchoLink. A friend of mine, I was trying to teach my friend how to use EchoLink. First got in ham radio. And he's pretty was smart, but he was getting frustrated at first. But he's an extra. And then all of a sudden he started telling me stuff on EchoLink that I didn't know nothing about. So, yeah, but I wish I could talk to him about that. But that's a good tool for people, you know, hams that just handicapped and everything. And that would have probably encourage him to keep his licenses that I've got a hold to him.
Yeah, and I think if I would have, I think I tried explaining the All-Star to him a little bit, and he got a little flustered with it, and that's a little bit harder. Like, if I would have sent him an All-Star node and then wrote out some instructions, he would have been able to figure that out. But, yeah, the Echo Link, I guess that would be easier. But I don't know how, if he might have dementia, because he told my aunt that I was trying to get a hold of him and to have me call him. And at that time, I hadn't been trying to get a hold of him. So I called him anyway, and I talked to him probably for about a good hour and a half. And I think he just said that to my aunt because he wanted me to call him. so I try to call him at least once every couple weeks. I actually haven't heard from him. I should probably do that tomorrow. It's Sunday. He'll probably be up and at it, and I'll give him a call and see, because I guess he was really into it, ham radio, and he got out of it, sold everything, and then he's like, I wish I would have kept the HT on here, because I'd have sent it to you. And it's probably like the one that I was just talking about that only did like 2 meters or 70 centimeters, but it would have been a neat little keepsake. But anyway, yeah, I don't know if he's with it enough to where he would figure it out. Maybe I'll mention it to him, because it's not that hard. Like, I've actually got my All-Star Hub. You can get into it through Echo Link. It's on my QRZ page. If you go on QRZ, I think it's just my call sign -L, and it gets into the Space Odyssey Hub.
Yeah, Roger. I don't think I wrote your call sign down.
Yeah, it's Whiskey 8 Charlie Papa Tango. I mean, I'm looking now to see. Yeah, I got it. You go down below the little astronaut video of Matthew Dominic. When I talk to him, it says, yeah, Echo Link Hub Connect is WATBTO.
Okay. Yeah. You ever go to, what's the name's house over there? What's his name? I live in Sterling Heights over there. ABH. Lynn. I can't think of Lynn's call sign. ABHFK or something like that.
I've heard of him, but I've never been to his house. For a minute there, you're talking about Larry, NYAT. He's got a cool thing.
Well, Lynn, we usually, sometimes he'll invite and have a antenna project over his house after breakfast on Saturday. And then, of course, it'd be warm outside. And they build a dipole, one of the strands, and he was showing it. He built it for 20, and the wire, he had the wire and stuff. And when he put it out there, man, he had a contact. I mean, within seconds, he had a contact. I thought maybe you probably know him because he lives over there. Like I said, he lives over there. And what is that? Yeah, Sterling Heights over there.
Yeah, I've heard of the name. I can't remember where I heard of his name. It must have been on here, I would think. But yeah, no, I've never been there. Yeah, we got, mostly what I do with other hams is we get together at Stony Creek. Useka Club does the Lark in the Park. So we'll in the summertime, they'll meet up at Stony Creek and we'll all bring our radios and play around. Yeah, that and Compota with a couple of my friends. There we go to a park and activate.
Yep. It's all good. I done been all over. Especially summer field day. Winter field day, I've been up there. I don't know if they still have winter field day, but I think it's like the third week in January or something. And it's up there in Satellite, Michigan or somewhere up there. I went up there one time to that spot, and they stay overnight, they cook and everything. It was pretty cool. They sign you to a bunk and everything, and it was fun.
Yeah, the Yusika, they still do that, but there's not a lot of people that go. I was supposed to go last winter, and one of the side effects that medication gave me, that antibiotic gave me, is like severe anxiety. And I got a pretty good grip on it now, but I didn't have a good grip on it back at Winterfield Day. And my one buddy was supposed to go with me, and he had to back out because he got sick. So I ended up not going, and I was kind of looking forward to that because it's up north of Port Huron in some cabins right on Lake Huron. And I'm going to try to go this year. They still do it.
Oh, shoot, I may try to make it. I went up there with Carl. I don't know if you know Carl. He's a silent key. He just turned silent key a few months ago. I drove up from Detroit to his house. He was living in Mount Clemens or something like that. And we rode up there and spent the weekend up there. You know, it brings a little food and stuff. We all cooking around, staying up all night talking and stuff. And then getting our bunks. You know, it was pretty neat. Then during the day, got up, they had three cabinets. One cabinet had operating 6 meters, the other one operating 20 meters, and the other one operating 80 meters and all that stuff. It was pretty exciting.
Yeah, I'll have to see if they're doing it this year. I'm sure they will. I mean, I think they had about 10 people that ended up showing up or something like that. It wasn't like the old days, I guess. But, yeah, I was going to bring all my satellite stuff and get the satellite contacts for Winterfield Day and then probably do some 20-meter and 40-meter because I have a lot of fun with those field day stuff. If I was at the Q&A at the club, it was like, I'd do it from my house, and then, you know, the club would show that they had, you know, like 200 single sideband 40-meter contacts, and I was like, man, I had 340 from my house.
Yeah, Roger. Is there somebody else trying to get in there? Yeah, it sounded like somebody was trying to key up on you there. Okay. Yeah, well. Yeah, it's all good.
Go to bed.
This will keep me busy and keep me from being so bored when I got all this stuff here, equipment and stuff like that, man. It's a mind-blowing thing. That's all I can tell you. Mind-blowing thing. So I take it you probably haven't been to Dayton, have you?
No, I haven't been to Dayton. I kind of want to go this year. I actually got a YouTube amateur radio at WTPT, and there's a few of the YouTube guys that are out there that they always meet up at the hamventions and stuff like that. And I don't know how many of them actually go to Dayton, though. I know a lot of them go to the one in Florida, Hancation and all that, but it'd be kind of neat to go to one of them and meet up with some of them guys and learn some of the YouTube tricks. I'm not really trying to make any money on it, but I'll go live doing my satellite passes. And actually, out of the six astronaut QSOs I've had, I think all of them but one, I was actually live on YouTube. So it was kind of neat. So I got videos on it of every single astronaut contact on there.
Yeah, kind of think with this guy that he videotapes the ham convention, because he interviewed me down there in Dayton twice in 2018 and 2019. Right after that, they didn't have, I don't think they had the convention in 20 because of the epidemic or something like that, you know. So, but it was pretty neat. I could see myself on there. And when they were interviewing me, people was looking at me on YouTube and said, "Hey, Jay, fix up your hat. Do this, do that." And the lady was telling me, who was videotaping me, said, "Hey, such there, fix up your hat." it was pretty exciting. I got to look at these. I think it's guys. They call sign, and they travel from. They travel. I don't know, way up in. I want to say Wyoming. And drive all the way in a van
and they be talking all the way, and they be videotaping while they talking too on this little thing. K5, W5, K5, I gotta look it up. There he goes, doing that duck transit, or whatever again. That's like the fourth time it's done it tonight. Is it K8MRD?
I'll tell you in a minute, hold on. Oh, man, I looked all through my list. I don't know why I can't run a call and stuff, but they operate the K5 or W5, ULB, ULB, something like that. God. And they got all the videos of Dayton and everything. You know, he has a pretty nice, neat website, but I just can't run a call.
Yeah, I've been searching on YouTube, but I'm not coming up with nothing.
He's got a five call. He's got a five call, but I couldn't run a KU5B, W5AB, something like that. But, and, you know, you can go on his website. And you can go back to all the stations and the ham conventions and look around and see. And they had interviewed me twice down there. And dang if I can't remember his call.
Do you remember his name or like Ham Radio 2.0 or anything like that?
Well, no. My guess is we bring up Dayton Ham Convention. I know he's pretty popular with Dayton Ham Convention. Dayton Ham, Dayton is the most biggest ham swap we got. That's the granddaddy of them all. That's the first one we started with, and it's still the biggest. Even though they start having ones in Florida and Florida, Alabama, stuff, but Dayton has always been the biggest.
And you said that was 2018?
19, 18, 19, yeah.
All right, I'm seeing Field Radio. These are the YouTube channels. Jesse Selena, Ham Radio Adventures with K0PIR.
You see something with five, let me know if you see something with five. They had a group of them used to come to Jake.
Yeah, but it's a Ham Radio CQ. That's his YouTube channel. I wonder if it says what it's calling.
It's W5KUB.
Alright, I'm searching that on YouTube right now. And I don't have anything coming up. What the heck?
I might be wrong, but I thought it was W5KUB. W5KUC. Hold on.
Well, W5KUC is Thomas Meglin in Tennessee. It does say he has a YouTube channel. Let me click on that. And you said he had a woman with him, too? This might be it.
It'd be a group of them, and maybe I was wrong about order. I think it might have been Tennessee.
Yeah, so there's a woman named Katie, that's blonde, WY7YL, and then Tom, the W5KUB, and then Glenn, Kilo Whiskey 5, Golf Papa.
You can talk to them while they're at the swap and stuff through their website that thing too. Yeah, that's it. And you can go back at some of the Dayton Ham Convention while it's down there. Go back to 2018, 19, where they were interviewing, And then I'm in there. They were interviewing me. I had my hat on. NAW deal. I had my hat on. They was interviewing me. And my friend said, man, go over there. Go over there. They told me, go over there so I can watch you on TV. So that's what I did.
Trying to see if I can find it. I'm back 4 years, 5 years. Would have been, what, 2019, I think?
Let's see. Yeah, about 5 years ago. About 5 years ago, five, 6 years ago. I know they had just, that was just before the COVID-19 and a year and two before COVID-19. And that was around, you know, that was, yeah, so. Been there somewhere, but it was pretty clear. It was tough. He picked up the hat, this, that, and all that. The lady would say, hey, Jay, somebody telling you to tell you to fix up your hat, fix up this, that. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, they got one that's memories of Hamvention 2018, and that just looks like a bunch of pictures that they crammed all together. I'm still looking.
This is a video, but those, they just showing Dayton and Chang, because it used to be at the Coliseum. It was a big Coliseum, you know, and everything was under one roof. I used to love that place, but they didn't take care of it, and a tornado hit it or something like that, too, and because they had everything under one roof, and when sometime in May, the third week of May, it might be kind of cool outside. Maybe hot, maybe raining. You can always go in the Coliseum, and that if you know, you don't want to go in the flea market.
Yeah, this is it, because this Can't Drive 55, Dayton 2018. That's only a 3-minute video, though. Then there's an interview with Tom. Oh, wow, and then it jumps to 2014, 2016. Oh, here. Memories from 2018. Hamvention 2018, Saturday, 8 a.m. until 6 p.m. I bet it's this.
But they had it from Friday to Sunday. They had it, the ham convention was Friday to Sunday. And it's over at about 2 o'clock on Sunday. But it's during the other part of the day, it'd be from like maybe 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning till about 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Do you remember what day it was they interviewed you?
Yeah, it was May. Oh boy, let me see. It was May the. It had to be. Between May the 19th to 21 in 2019, 18 and 19, and if you roll it all the way up to five minutes, something like that, I think it's like, you roll it all the way up to 5 minutes when he was interviewing, and it's got a little thing on there, you can scroll it up to 5 minutes, and, 5 minutes or something, something like that.
Yeah, do you remember if it was Friday, Saturday, or Sunday on that weekend?
It had to be Friday. I don't know, Friday, Saturday. Either Friday or Saturday. I would think it was Friday. We always, me and my friends, we always get there on Friday. Had to be Friday or Saturday. Oh man, I can't believe I can't remember. But my friend said, yeah man, I got your YouTube, I was looking at the blah 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 and all that kind of stuff. So you can scroll if Friday like the 19th or May the 9th, 2019 or 18, somewhere in there. I forget, but just when you come to it, you'll see they interviewed me, and I got my hat on, I am with my call sign on and everything like that. I don't know.
Oh, I'll end up finding it. They got 2018 and they got 3 days. They got Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So you said it was like the 5 minute mark. For some reason, I can only get to the 7 minute mark. I'm trying to get back to the 5 minute mark.
It's from 5 minute mark somewhere in there. You scroll up to the 5 minute mark. Somewhere in that 5:40. I don't know. Somewhere in there. I'm in there. I can't remember if it was on the 18th or 19th. I think I was interviewed twice. Both years, I think.
All right, so this one, I'm at 5:18 into the video. I'm going to watch it here for a little bit. See, there's two guys waving. Not you, though. Let's see. That's pretty funny. I don't know. There's three of them. I'll watch. Actually, I'm getting ready to go to sleep, so I'm going to watch it and see if I can find you, and then if I find it, I'll let you know when I talk to you again tomorrow or something.
If you have any chance, you catch me on Echolink. I always have my Echolink up and running, if you don't catch me on the computer. All right, Don, take care. We'll talk with you later. Yeah, I done slept all night, so I'm going to see if I can watch the little Bluetooth. We'll talk with you later about it. I'd like to keep you up on a lot of other stuff that you may be interested in, too. 73-8WJ, I'm going to be clear.
All right, thanks for the good conversation, and we'll definitely catch you again. Oop, somebody's talking on my DMR. All right, I'll catch you later. Have a good night. WCBC, clear.
All right, WCBC. WCBC and AWJ.
Good morning, 0500 hours, mostly cloudy, 40 degrees. Good morning, 0600 hours. Cloudy. 41 degrees. Good morning, 0700 hours. Cloudy. 41 degrees. Good morning, 0800 hours. Cloudy. 41 degrees. Good morning, 0900 hours. Cloudy. 41 degrees. Good morning, 1000 hours. Cloudy. 41 degrees. Good morning, 1100 hours. Cloudy. 42 degrees. Good afternoon, 1200 hours, mostly cloudy, 42 degrees.
K
KZ8Z Mobile. Go Lions.
Hey, CBS Captain.
WMSC, I'm calling.
November 8th, Delta Bravo Foxtrot. I didn't catch that, sorry.
W8NSC, yeah, a little scratchy. Got some bacon frying in there.
Alright, I'll take that. It's a Kenwood THC-75 hooked up to a VTEC amp that I'm running while my 500's in the shop, but I could never do this before, and I'm sitting behind a house right now, so should be good once I'm in the clear.
Okay, what machine are you coming on? I'm on the Richmond machine.
I'm going into Romeo from Elmar right now, just west of 53 on Dryden.
Okay, I got you. Nope, I can make it out. It's doable.
Copy that. Yeah, like I said, it should be better. I'm parked behind my house right now, which is directly between me and the repeater, so I think once I'm mobile and out of the way here, I'll be clear.
Very good. Yeah, I'll just cut off the freeway heading east towards the river.
Copy that. Yeah, you're sounding good. Which, you're going into Richmond, where are you at?
I'm on Division or Fredmore or 32, whichever you call it, almost just about a mile and a half east of 94.
All right, yeah, copy that. It's a good bit of ways away from where I'm at. So, repeater's doing a good job, and you're coming in nice and clear. I got a little bit of snow, but that's, like I said, because of the building. So, all right, cool. I just wanted to pass this. This is 2.5 watts into that amp, so I don't know what the amplification is and the formula, but I'm assuming I'm probably putting out about 20 watts right now, so I'll take it. Appreciate you coming back. This is NA-DBS.
DBS, WNSC-73.
73.
Good afternoon. 1300 hours. Cloudy. 42 degrees.
KF8S, WATPT, got it, copy.
KFAS. Alright, so how's this sound? This is 5 watts on my TYC UV390 with my Comet vertical on my truck.
Yeah, sounds really good over here. How am I sounding you? I'm on Mount Clemens.
You're sounding good. I just bumped it up to 10 watts. Probably didn't notice any difference, though. But this is what I'm going to use on the next ISS pass and see if I can hear with this, then it's that MD-9600 that's just not receiving good for some reason.
Yeah, it's possible. I'm going to use I got my 390 ready for that in an hour. I think the caps from last night are still good.
Yeah, I could run in the house and grab my laptop and update it, but I was told, like, 3 days, you're getting close to where something might have changed because they might have had to move around space junk. But all the other satellites, they're saying like maybe every 5 to 7 days because them are just affected by the Earth's gravity. The ISS, they can actually move it if there's something coming in the way of it.
They need to invent deflector shields like on Star Trek.
Well, there you go. Yeah, the thing that was kind of interesting, and I it was only like a 20-degree pass, and I didn't really care when this happened, but they used SpaceX, the capsule, I think, that brought supplies. They used that to do a burn to move it higher up in orbit to, you know, just to see how it worked. Because prior to that, I think they were using the Russian something or another to do it. And so they pushed it higher up in orbit, and I waited for that, you know, the next pass after they did that without updating the cups just to see, and it was, I was using my aero antenna, and I, you know, only time I heard it was when it was straight overhead, because the Doppler, you know, was at 800, and, but I bet it wasn't straight overhead then either. I bet it was off, so yeah, when they do a burn like that, you definitely have to, so like if they did that today, and nobody knew about it, then everybody's caps would be off from yesterday. But if they didn't do anything like that, then they should be on.
And I don't know how often they update the site, you know, the caps data. I wonder if they only do that once a day, too. Do you know anything about that?
No, I need to find out more about that, because they have no reason to do it other than every 5 to 7 days, I think, as far as all the other satellites. So they might not, and I need to look that up, because I might be, like, updating this every day for no reason. Because normally before I start working on any satellites, I'll just do it just to do it. And yeah, if they say for sure it doesn't change for, like, 3 days or something, then I'm going to start only doing it every 2 days, that way I know. I don't know. I'm going to look that up, though. That's a good idea.
Yeah, I would use that little Anytone that, you know, to try that out, but it's only going to be like 5 or 6 watts, right? And I don't have a directional antenna, so I think I'm better off using the 390, which I can pump a little bit more power out of that guy. For this one. I'll see. Eric said he heard me last time I used it, so I know I can get in there. And this one looks like it's going southwest. I can't tell if it's starting in the northeast and going southwest or the opposite. But either way, perfect alignment with where my antenna is, so I should have a good field of view for that.
Yeah, it's starting southwest and it's going to northeast.
Yeah, its highest point is going to be in the southeast of me, which I've got open sky to that direction, so that's going to be good.
Yeah, and for me, that's the worst direction, because south to east is my parents' house, basically, where I'm sitting. But I still usually get it. When I use the aero antenna, I get it fine. So I'm curious, but we got 1 hour and 6 minutes yet. Bummer. But no, I got this 390 hooked up to it, so I'm gonna give that a shot. I'm gonna take a break here, and I'm gonna try to look up that KEPS question you had, because I'm curious too. If I'm updating it every day for no reason, I don't want to.
Yeah, then you got to find out when they did update it. So, all right, I'll let you get back to it. I'll be monitoring various places. KFADS.
All right, sounds good. I'll catch you in a little bit. W8CPT.
Good afternoon, 1400 hours, mostly cloudy, 42 degrees. Good afternoon, 1500 hours, mostly cloudy, 43 degrees.
Anybody away?
Good afternoon. 1600 hours. Mostly cloudy. 43 degrees. UHF hub disconnected. Good afternoon. 1700 hours. Mostly cloudy. 42 degrees. Good evening. 1800 hours. Mostly cloudy. 42 degrees. UHF hub connected to Flynn 600. VHF hub connected to Fenton 78. UHF hub connected to FBI hub. UHF hub connected to node 53696.
W8FU. W8FU.
Good evening. 1900 hours. Cloudy. 41 degrees.
Visiting my girlfriend, and I'm originally out of Bel Air, Michigan, up north, and I just brought my little inexpensive HD with me and wanted to make a check. Thank you very much. KE8AZI, I'll be clear.
Here, you have a good night there. I'm glad you check in and out, and it's nice to hear somebody from the other parts of the state here coming in. So have a good one. KE8URV. First personal, Jim Juliet, Indian Mike.
Good evening. 2000 hours. Cloudy. 41 degrees. Good evening. 21 hours. Cloudy. 41 degrees. Good evening, 22 hours. Cloudy. 41 degrees. Good evening, 23 hours. Cloudy. 39 degrees.